static out of you.
Good morning, Mary Sunshine. And how are we today?
I borrowed this sweatshirt. Hope you don't mind. Bacon and eggs coming up.
Where did Heather go?
Oh, I heard her leaving early this morning.
You cat.
Oh, what a night. That was just what I needed.
Well, I'll tell you something.
You look like a new man.
You like a new man. I was getting so used to being rejected. You know, I really liked her.
Hey, who's my treat?
What do you mean it was your treat?
You know, I bought this time, you buy next time. I'll let your eggs get cold.
By what?
What do you mean by what? The women.
The what? Do you mean that Heather is a prostitute?
Of course she is. You think a woman like that would hang out with us if we weren't paying?
Oh, my God. This can't be happening.
Oh, hey. It's okay. She's totally clean. I checked her out about a week ago.
Make sure she was top quality.
And I'm healthy as a horse. Not a drip. Would you like some juice?
You're kidding me, right? She's a friend of yours. You're just messing with my mind, right?
I wish I had friends like that.
Get out of my house. What are you so ashamed of? I know she was a working girl, but she kind of liked you. You might even have been able to get a freebie. Who knows?
Get out now. I don't ever want to see you again. Robin's never going to forgive me.
Well, I'll tell you how you handle that. Don't tell her. You want her back? I'll help you get her back.
I just want you out of my apartment and get this stuff out of here.
I think you need to ask yourself why you're doing this, Stephen.
Because I think you're starting to sabotage yourself.
Out now.
Right? Everything was going so well. Why are you doing this, Stephen? I made you breakfast, and we were eating.
Out.
And
no. Out.
Scramby
out.
And no, I'll fix this, Stephen.
Out.
I can fix it. I can make it cool again.
Out. Sure.
You're listening to Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Excuse me, sir. What are you doing?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I want to buy 8 hot dogs and 8 hot dog buns to go with them. But no one sells 8 hot dog buns. They only sell 12 hot dog buns. So I end up paying for 4 buns I don't need. So I am removing the superfluous buns.
I'm sorry, sir, but you're going to have to pay for all 12 buns. They're not marked individually.
Yeah. You want to know why? Because some big shot over at the Wiener Company got together with some big shot over at the Bun Company and decided to rip off the American public. Because they think the American public is a bunch of trusting nitwits who pay for things
security.
They don't need rather than make a stink. Well, they're not ripping off this nitwit anymore because I'm not paying for one more thing I don't need. George Banks is saying no!
Who's George Banks?
Cheer up, Charlie. Give me a smile. What happened to that smile I used to know? Don't you know your grin has always been my sunshine? Let that sunshine show. Come on, Charlie, no need to frown. Deep down you know the world is still your toy. When the world gets heavy, never peer a pattern. of an atom boy.
Hey, it's me. Prove it. You're a dick.
Okay.
Yeah!
Hello, everyone. It's Friday. That means it's time for the Nowhere in Mulberry Show. Hi, everyone. I am your host, the J-Strom. Yeah. Oh. Hey!
Yay!
And to my left is Stephen the Pop Culture Zen. How's it going, Stephen?
Good.
Nice to see you, sir.
Glad to be back.
Sorry we missed you last week, but I'm glad you're back.
Thanks.
Unfortunately, now we're missing Laura this week. What the heck, man?
I was listening to the show last week.
Oh, nice. So it's going to start being a special thing when all of us are here, isn't it? You know, we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent.
Good to see you too, Bill.
Or yes, good to hear see you too, through the internet. Bill.
Nice to have you guys here. Good to talk to you. It's been a long week for me because I've ran into a little bit of tooth trouble. Mm-hmm. You see, I had a bionic tooth. At least I thought it was an indestructible crown, but it's not indestructible, apparently.
What's underneath it.
I had no idea that you could do what I did, and that is...
destroy the tooth under?
Yeah, it's like basically like a tree stump under there of an old tooth. I had a root canal there. They remove it, but they sand it down, and then they put a gold tooth on it. And I'm going to blame a popcorn kernel. That's the only thing I can think it was. Like, we went to the movies on Sunday, took my daughter to see Rio, and I think I remember wincing at that. And
at Rio?
Yeah, and I didn't think anything of it, Bill, until a couple of days later. I was like, at first I was like, did I get some meat stuck over there or something? I'm like flossing, and that wasn't
That's the first thing that always happens with me, is I go, is there meat stuck up in there?
Yeah. And so Wednesday, it was throbbing, and I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, I got to go to the dentist. So, and I was even talking to you, Bill. Oh, Bill. Yeah. And the funny thing is I was like typed in on Google, pain inside crown. People are like, all these horrible things, you know, like.
Black plague.
Oh, it's cracked. It's leaking all sorts of bacteria. It's going to get infected. You know, it's a. Abscess down there, and I was like, oh, you know, everything I read was like worse, you know.
Abscess. I think that some of those people have waited to the last possible moment. They're
and so I went to the dentist, and she looked at it. And the thing is, I just was at the dentist like 3 weeks ago for a checkup, and it was fine. They even did the X-rays, so she actually had 3 week old X-rays to go on to compare them to this week, and you could see the problem. There, and she recommended extraction. So that's going to suck.
Well, it all depends on how they do it. You know, I had a molar. I had a cavity that apparently I forgot about for a number of years, and my tooth cracked on my molar in the on the right side on the back.
Ouch! The nerve is
on the bottom, and it got abscessed.
Ah!
And they had to yank that sucker out. With a pair of pliers.
Wow.
And even though it's numbed, you can feel that shit.
Yeah. I had a tooth pulled. I'm going to say it was like 15 years ago or something. And I had a filling in it. And apparently the filling like behind it, decay got in there. So it was eating away from the tooth. And it broke. And it was like... nerve exposed kind of pain.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
I remember what happened. It broke the night before, and I didn't really feel anything. It was fine. Went to sleep, and I woke up with like the whole side of my head in pain, like oh. And I was like, "You got to do something, Heather. Help me." I was like, "I was ready to blow my friggin' brains out or stab myself in the leg to take away from the head pain." So I went to the dentist, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this sucker's got to get pulled." And it's like, "Oh, I'm glad it's amusing to you." So, and he was like, well, I'm not going to do it. It's too close to your nasal cavity, so I'm going to recommend you to so-and-so, and you, you know, you go there. And I was like, when the hell is this going
to
happen?
That's what happened to me.
Really?
I was the dentist, and he said he wouldn't pull it, that he would have to take, I'd have to go to an oral surgeon. I was like, F you, dude, just pull a freaking thing.
Pull it out now. So it was like a week later I had to go, so I was on painkillers, and so it felt better. But
yeah, but still, I was same thing happened to me. I mean, this is amazing that I was pumping whole tubes of Orajel Maximum Strength back there for about 5 days and taking hydrocodone, the highest dosage, the 510.
Mm-hmm.
And that's insane.
That Orajel's a joke too, isn't it? It doesn't really help that much.
It is.
It's just teasing you. But I remember when I got
it pulled away for like 5 minutes, and then it's you're like, oh, and then it's like, oh my god, it hurts again.
The morbid fascination is I wanted to see the tooth after it was pulled, and the guy was like, yeah. There's nothing left. It's gone. It just disintegrated. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like
mine didn't disintegrate. It was nasty.
Yeah, it was all like just like really brittle. So he like pulled it out, but you can, even though there's no pain, you can feel him pushing the gums down on the side. Kind of like, mm-hmm. It feels very forceful, like your head's moving, yep. And just like,
because there's going to be a little pressure. It's like a little bit. I feel like my jaw's going to be pushed off.
And when I was doing my braces and they had to take out some of my permanent teeth, you know, because I'm crowding in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my second molar on one side, when they were pulling it, shattered it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had to go in and x-ray me to find all the pieces and pull them out a little at a
what
time.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you like, know what the weirdest thing was? Whenever I had the tooth
drugs
pulled,
were awesome.
A little piece of it shattered off and embedded itself in my gums.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the suture. You know, that was sticking there. And I was like, because I kept tonguing it, like, well, it feels kind of like the suture, so I better not mess around with it. And then a couple days later, I was just like, this hurts like hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pushing at it and pushing at it. And then it finally pops out, and I look, and it's the shattered piece of my tooth.
Oh, damn.
It was buried into my gums.
Yeah, right now, I'd say I have, like, a headache in my jaw kind of feeling.
Mm, yeah.
It's like a dull ache, you know?
I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you.
I know what it feels like, and it hurts, and it sucks.
It can bother me if I've got to just keep myself occupied, and I'm fine. I mean, I can take – I got some hydrocodone, but I haven't taken it yet. I wasn't sure how I'd feel during the show, you know. Or, like, you know, I had to pick up my daughter from school. I don't know.
All of a sudden, the show becomes, like, incredibly vulgar.
Yeah. But it's like that tooth a long time ago, like 15 years ago. Now, that was friggin' dental pain where I was ready to just drive into a wall or something. So I just don't want to go through that again. And that's one thing.
Without a seatbelt?
The dentist said, you know, hey, it's a good thing you came here now because it's not infected yet or anything. It just happened. We can get you on some antibiotics and take care of this, you know, right away. And I'm like, oh, great. Well, I'm glad I did, you know, like – old Jason would have been like, I'm going to wait like a couple months before I get this checked out. And then all of a sudden, you know, like, Jason, why is your jaw swollen?
That's like all the people on the forum that were rioting, you know?
Yeah, like,
my jaw about exploded.
Yeah, my jaw popped. That would suck.
Oh, that's gross.
Grody.
Well, I'm seeing is like abscess all over the place.
Yeah, but, you know, that's when I was reading that, it scared me into wanting to go.
Yeah.
So then that's good that I went and had that done. So anyway, if anybody has a crown and you think it's indestructible, it's not. Don't use it to break walnuts or anything, apparently. And you know what's funny is cause the last time I went to the dentist, I had this tender tooth on the left side. And she was just like, hey, stop eating those gobstoppers or whatever. And so I was eating on that side of my mouth to avoid the other side. Then this happens. Ah.
No more runs.
All right, guys. Now, we don't have any voicemail this week. I don't know what happened. Yeah, not a single one. But
wow.
We do have a second episode of This Week in Nowhere in Mulberry by Adam and Ross.
Perfect.
I would like to make a claim from last week.
So you listened to last week's show, Steven.
I told you.
Yeah. And
the denial is here. Nothing happened with me and Vanessa. Ever.
I was hoping you'd find that. What are you?
Well, I remembered one time on the show, didn't you guys go see a movie together or something?
Yeah, we went and saw a movie.
Okay.
So let me ask you, what did you think of the first episode of their show?
It made me laugh. I cracked up because it was just like, wow, how did anybody listen to that first episode? I'm thinking the same thing as them.
And we're talking so quiet in it, too. Like, just very kind of laid back.
It's like, man, how did anybody stomach that first episode?
And for Christ, I know that the New Orleans stuff was happening then, so it was like a big deal then, but what were we doing? I mean, like, let's talk about...
You were staying topical.
Let's talk about Hurricane Katrina, Steve. And it's like...
We had no idea what we were doing,
around,
okay?
Right?
We were trying to figure out
the inside edition of podcast.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and listen to the second episode of Twin I Am, or This Week in Nowhere in Mulberry, with Adam and Ross. And once again, I'm going to mute my mic so I don't just talk over it and confuse everybody with my voice that's on the recording. So we'll see you on the flip side, Bill. All right, let's check this out.
September 10th, 2005. Episode 2, Not Attack of the Clones.
Well.
This week, in NIMH, Jason tries out entertainment music. Steven watches Rockstar NXS. Bill talks DVDs. And Vanessa reads the news.
Oh, baby.
Are you toking on something?
You said boomstick? That's what I heard.
I'm an artist.
Greetings,
program! Greetings. Greetings and salutations.
Adam and Ross here, talking episode 2, Not Attack of the Clones. Very interesting episode. First episode, we get Mulberry Bill.
Yes, that's right. The entrance of Mulberry Bill. Let's play that clip.
Well, anyway, we're here. That was my first anyway, so stab me if you want. I'm going to do a small cut on my arm with an X-Acto every time I say "and anyway." We also have Bill here. How's it going, Bill? Okay, Bill is...
what a great intro for Bill.
I'm perfectly fine. Thank you for having me.
He sounds like a surfer.
Story,
he is.
Isn't that right?
Yes, I know everything about the history of Mulberry. That's why they call me a historian.
In fact, some people call you Mulberry Bill. Is that right?
Yes, that is true.
See, that's awesome because it sounds like he just made that up on the spot. And then now that's all I know Bill as.
Yeah,
I don't know him as Bill
Lochner.
Like,
it's almost as if they got together beforehand and talked about it. But now I'm just finding out that, like, it was on the fly right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Okay, let me finish the clip up.
And I am not, in fact, making all this up right now, am I?
Yes, you are, in fact.
It's just amazing how
I'm a historian, so I'm going to note it for...
It's just amazing how a nickname can just stick like that, like you being Hammer Pants Adam. You know?
That's true. That is true. One of my many aliases.
See?
All right, so, okay, so something that we've decided to do on Twin I Am, or This Week in NIM, is have a Vanessa, or we're going to call it Vanessa's Moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is a pretty good one. I think you'll like it.
The weirdest episode I think there has been.
I really liked it, though.
Talking about BSG.
You want to know the best part of it?
What?
They showed Apollo shirtless. Oh, baby.
Yeah, but how
that was my
like
favorite part.
She keeps saying it.
He's the worst character on the entire show.
No. The worst character
on
the entire
show.
Oh, no.
One thing?
Do it. Ross doesn't agree. No.
Oh, baby.
Ross does a great impression.
That's great.
Oh, baby. So here we have something that was going on in the early episodes is a lot of drop playing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason has said that he just never, like with the drops and stuff, that's what like kind of drives the show. Or we've even talked about that. It's the drops that make the show what it is.
It's the drops and the Steve and Vanessa romance storyline that gets you coming
the
back.
The juicy stuff.
Yeah, the real juicy. The
meat
of the program.
Of the podcast. So anyways, but this is a moment where, like, Ross pointed out that they get irritated with it. And, you know, and then I talked to Jason, and he said that Vanessa never really got, like, where he wanted to go with the show. He wanted it to just be this goofy thing with lots of drops played and stuff like that. So, anyways.
Definitely not great.
I'd give it a...
See you later.
I see.
Will you stop it with the drops already?
Thank you.
What?
Could you imagine?
Thank you.
That's a bill.
If you just,
I
like,
rehired
decided
him.
To, you know, yeah. to stop. You know, yeah, doing the drops. Oh, it would be terrible. Like, the show needs that. Because he's so
somehow
good at them,
that
too.
White noise that's created in the recording material or whatever can pick up on that stuff.
So you visit, scared, dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ. If you visit Ghost... Hey,
and that was Jason in this episode. There's no Foggy to blame that on yet. Oh, yeah, he does not introduce yet, okay? Okay, we'll have to keep track of that. Okay, so that's it for this episode of Twin IM. Thanks for listening, guys.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Peace.
All right, guys. Thanks for the second episode of Twin IM. That was pretty funny. I like... Oh, baby. Oh, baby. You know, I got to say something about Vanessa is I think Vanessa can be genuinely funny. I just think sometimes she did the Vanessa show. You know, hey, it's the Vanessa show, everybody.
She's not on NIM.
She wants to I've got Vanessa on the line. She wants to talk about a 12-hour documentary she watched. It was really interesting.
The Staircase.
Yes.
Now, what do you know, in my defense in that episode, the show is a brand new shiny toy, right? And drops had not yet been mastered, so it was just kind of playing around still. So, Bill, what do you think about that? You're like, will you stop with the drops?
I think that was funny, especially whenever I got so exasperated. I was like, oh Jesus Christ.
So it was like practice throughout the show. I mean, yeah. Consecutive episodes, but I don't think Vanessa ever got over the drops.
It was the first drops guy that sucked.
Do you remember Vanessa's big thing was like, whenever you play drops, it messes up my Skype connection, so please stop. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, that was bullshit, because if you remember the first time she lost it, it was about the integrity of the news.
Yeah. Well, I was messing up the news.
Yeah,
the
she's
drops.
Like, you're messing up the flow of the news.
Well, the best thing that ever happened to the show was Foggy coming on board. So,
yeah, because he really got it down to a science.
Yeah, you fired that first Bill guy.
And... can't be happening.
Oh, my God. But, guys, I can't wait to hear the third episode. I really like this. It's a lot of fun. It's really, you know, I don't know. Is it?
So I hate to disappoint them. There is no romance.
I'm so embarrassed by old clips of us. Is that?
Maybe just it was a bad romance.
I'm so entertained by it.
No romance.
I don't know, Steven.
I'm pretty sure I was here.
That's all right. All right. I like the denial. It's good.
I hung out with both your sisters. So
hey,
like,
now what are you saying?
Oh, hey.
All right, Steven. Don't say too much. Oh, my gosh. Now, guys, there was no voicemail. I wonder if Rick's in a late voicemail. Nope, nothing. What do you guys say we get into entertainment? Let's go ahead and get this going.
He crashed his forklift.
Oh, no, Rick! Oh. All right, guys, entertainment! I love that Adam and Ross.
I wish
I had friends like that.
You said it, cable guy. Now, Bill.
They're paying next time.
I don't. When did Thor comes out next week? Right.
Thor.
THOR.
What time?
Thor.
I'm Thor.
Conan did a funny bit. Did you see it? I'm Thor. Take that, bitch. Where he talks like that the whole time. Now, Dylan Dog, that comes out next week, right?
Is that the 29th? Yeah.
Dylan Dog, Dead of Night.
I'm all over that movie.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of fun with Brandon Routh. I've heard people say with Brandon Routh, Brandon Routh. I'm going to just say Ruth. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to see something today, but there's nothing out.
Yeah, there's the greatest movie ever sold with Morgan Spurlock. You going to go see
that? Well, not around here.
Yeah. But, I liked Super Size Me, and I never saw the Bin Laden movie, but this look, I mean, as long as it's entertaining, I like good documentary, jokey things that, you know, are entertaining.
That Water for Elephants commercial makes me laugh every time because of how many critic whores are quoted.
Oh, like, yeah.
Peter Travers, best movie you'll see this year.
David Anson says, I shit my pants.
Pete Hammond says, I shit my pants. It was so wonderful.
The cable guy says,
not a drip.
What is that?
Not a drip of water.
And how are we today?
Medea's family reunion.
We got Medea. You know, that guy, why am I blanking on his name? Everyone knows Tyler Perry. He was on Conan this week. It actually showed a funny clip of that movie where he was Medea in a drive-thru, and they tell her that the breakfast is no longer served. So she's so pissed off that she drives into the fast food place, like through the glass, and hops up on the counter. I was like, that's some funny shit, man. That's Tyler Perry. He knows what's going on.
Watch that. Meet the Browns. That funny?
That shit's funny, Steven.
I think my favorite thing about the Medea movies is the fights that Spike Lee and the hell's that guy's name?
Tyler Perry
get into over them.
Tyler Perry.
Like, every time there's a new Medea movie, Spike Lee has to chime up with how it's setting the black race back.
Ah.
I think you need to ask yourself why you're doing this, Steven.
Speaking of the black race, every time I see the commercial for Disney's African Cats, I think, man, there must be some really cool black guys.
African cats. Who the African cats? I don't know.
And then narrated by Samuel L. Jackson, like, hey, that's an African cat.
I like stuff like that, those old documentaries of the animals and stuff. That's cute.
Is it in 3D?
I think it is. What do you think?
I know there's something in 3D that's one of those animal things.
I did not see
out coming out.
You know, I saw the movie Rio with about the birds and stuff.
Right.
And I didn't see it in 3D, and I wished I had, because there's all this cool, because you know, people knock on 3D and stuff, but the computer animated shit looks really good in 3D. I thought Megamind,
it's all built in the system.
Yeah, Megamind looked outstanding in 3D. So when they did all the flying sequences and stuff, I was like, maybe we should have seen it in 3D. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we didn't get to, but still, it's good stuff. You know, it's entertaining for the whole family.
Is it kind of hard to keep the glasses on him?
The problem is she wears glasses, so she puts them over her glasses. So, yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
I am so tired of that. How hard is it for these companies? I mean, if they produce the glasses, they can't make, like, clips.
You know what I think would be awesome? And I would totally do this. I wear contacts, so this is a dumb idea. It wouldn't work, but 3D contacts.
Dude, I was looking online to see if anybody made prescription 3D glasses.
Uh-huh.
So I would buy them.
If it was like
$30, like $39glasses.com or something, I would totally buy them, because I hate wearing those glasses over my glasses.
What we need really is the glassless 3D, right? Without glasses.
I don't know, man. That stuff, I was looking at a 3DS in Best Buy, and I thought I was going to puke on it. It was like, it was giving me a headache.
Yeah, that's a problem too. I don't know. I'm going to stick with kids' movies in 3D and not so much the... I'm not going to see Thor in 3D. Definitely not.
Thor!
I'm Thor!
You don't want the hammer flying at you?
Yeah, I can't do that. But, Bill, I want to ask you about this movie that I just saw the trailer to, and you told me you've seen it.
Yes.
And it's called Troll Hunter.
Troll Hunter, yes.
Troll Hunter. Now, I believe... Yeah. Guillermo del Toro is the producer of it, right? Guillermo.
Is he?
I believe he is. I don't know if he had anything to do with it.
He's now bringing it over to the States or something, but...
He may have seen it and said, hey, I'm going to help you guys get this wide distributed or something.
All the credits are in... What do the Norwegians speak? Oh, Norwegian?
Yeah. It's in the Norwegian? I got nothing. Okay, so the movie is subtitled, I guess, then, right?
Yes, it is subtitled. Well, there's moments of English, but very limited parts.
Now, tell me what it looks like. What sold me is that these people, it's like a documentary style of people looking for trolls.
All right. So I don't sound like an idiot like last week with Super.
Okay.
Pull my thoughts together in my head. All right, there's a group of students, and they're making a documentary about a notorious bear poacher named Hans. Okay. And they're following him through Norway. And they keep trying to get an interview with him. And when they finally, they're following him to the forest at night. They see lights flashing, and something is obviously bigger than a bear. And he comes running out and goes, "Troll!" And they all run away, and it's this three-headed troll. And it turns out he's not a bear poacher. He's a troll hunter.
Ah.
So it's them going looking for the trolls. I think the best part of it was if you're a Christian, you're not allowed to go troll hunting because they can smell a Christian's blood.
Ah.
There's a part later in the movie where they have to make sure one girl's okay because she's Muslim.
That's funny.
It's like, she's Muslim. Is that okay? Yeah.
And then they're going to eat me.
It's kind of, is it like Jack and the Beanstalk, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman or something like that?
I think so, yeah, sort of.
But what's so cool in the trailer is the effects of the big trolls look so cool. It doesn't look cheesy.
Yeah, there's so many of them. I think the one they show in the trailer is, it's just one of them. I'll just say that.
Well, they seem pretty hospitable, though, in the trailer.
Hospitality. And you can't piss on hospitality.
Sorry.
<I won't>
No, these are not those kind of trolls. These are massive.
Massive dudes. Big guys.
Yeah.
Now, you.
But there's some really cool effects, and a lot of it, they can get away with a lot of it not looking perfect because of, like, night vision cameras.
Right. And that's what's so cool. That I like that kind of stuff where they're clever about it.
Yeah. Like, it's like I told you before we talked. It's kind of like the Blair Witch Project meets Cloverfield meets Trolls.
Meets Troll 2?
Yes. Yeah. There's a scene where they...
All right, Foggy.
There's a scene where they have sex and popcorn pops all over the place.
That's awesome! Sign me up!
Yeah.
So I got to see this. Steven, you want to see this?
It's a good movie. Yeah. It's surprising how involved you get in it. Because the troll hunter, this Hans, is such a character. And you totally believe this guy, that he's like a badass like troll hunter that just goes and has made it his whole life.
Now, I am really excited about that. I can't wait to see it.
It's a good movie. I'm surprised that it's not coming here until now. I figured it was already on Blu-ray or DVD or something because it came out last year sometime overseas.
Oh, is that how you seen it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's already had its Blu-ray and DVD releases overseas, and I had heard so much talk about it that I got a hold of it and watched it last year sometime.
Well, that I'm really excited about over, you know, other things opening today.
Well, it's because it's creative and it's interesting.
That's what I like, the creativity.
That area in your brain where you're like, oh, this looks like a fun film.
It releases that endorphin chemical in your brain. You know what I mean, Steven?
The troll endorphin.
Yeah.
We'll have to make a land squid hunter.
Not a drip.
Yeah, land squid. I could see those effects where
the
it's all
hunter.
Done.
Land squid hunter.
Land squid hunter. It's like, that'd be awesome. A Yukon Cornelius type guy is hunting the land squid.
That's what the hunter reminds me of in
Yukon Cornelius.
Yukon Cornelius.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, sign me up. You've just sold that sucker, man.
He's just kind of like, he's grizzled and his car. I love his car. It's this Land Rover and it is just tore to shit. Like there's like all these slash marks in it and everything.
Oh, they show that in the thing. It's like got spikes and stuff on it to protect.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's got these three spikes on the top, and on the top of it, he's got this gigantic spotlight because trolls don't handle sunlight well. In this, I guess because their metabolism, I can't remember what it is, but they can't convert the vitamin D from sunlight into calcium or some
hilarious.
Shit. There's like a science to it. I mean, they get all scientific up in
there?
This shit.
Who
may
it's,
I
it's
ask,
a fun
you?
Movie. Even with all of them yelling in their gibberish.
Yeah, I mean, I know fun. It'll be subtitles, but I don't care. I got to see it.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, found footage kind of things. Like, it begins, like, you know, two hard drives were delivered
retrieved
to,
and so-and-so.
Yeah, scientists analyzed the information and the video, and they have decided that it is, in fact, real, and this is a rough edit of the, you know, how many ever hours that we received. It's fun. Yeah, I recommend it.
Can't wait to see it. What do you guys say we get into, you know, some TiVo stuff?
Oh, and is it? It should be on video on demand soon, because I saw that it's Magnet Releasing that is doing it. And Magnet's the people that did, like, 13 Assassins and all those.
I still haven't seen 13 Assassins, and it's killing me.
That's because you're a punk.
I've just had a rough week, Bill. I couldn't sit down and watch a movie.
Your tooth is...
Well, see, you know, last week I had the air conditioner crap, and then this week
I know. What the hell is going on, man?
I want to have an uneventful week, Steven.
You got to get your shit fixed.
Get your old shit fixed.
I don't know. It's our season, too, so it'd probably be almost time to get the roof redone. And
I'll fix this, Steven.
Hey, Steven, shut up. You're going to jinx it.
That's what I've got to do. I've got to get my roof done.
Oh, no, you do?
Yeah.
You know, it's Bummer. Because it's too much partying. When you tell people to raise the roof, they actually do it.
This can't be happening.
We had that real nasty windstorm last week.
All right, guys, let's check out what is on our TiVo type DVR / VCR type of thing. Woohoo! Now, guys, I want to get right into Celebrity Apprentice and this whole Gary Busey thing, because
something that's bothering you about it.
This week it was Omaha Steaks, Bill, which we all know is the greatest steaks known to man, right?
Apparently, it was just like Bose are the best speakers I've ever heard.
That's what I thought. It was funny when you said that. Omaha Steaks is like the Bose to speakers. Like, they're supposed to be great, but you know, because all they do is advertise well.
Well, okay, even in the show, they don't make themselves sound very good because Busey is asking legitimate questions.
Yeah, do you raise your own beef? And they're like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Is it grass-fed? Do you raise it? Where does it come from? And they're like, well, it's from beef producers around the United States. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, so it finally comes out. These magnificent, aged, vacuum-sealed steaks are from those cesspool pits that cows are just corralled into.
What they do is they buy the beef somewhere and then they age it for 21 days is what they do.
It's like they're aging like horrible. It's mad cow steak.
Now let's listen to this, Bill, where they question the guys. And Gary brings up a very touching story about a kite on Father's Day. let's check this out. First, let's listen to this badass Celebrity Apprentice music.
Freedom!
I'm getting into this.
We're standing in front of the Trump Tower Grill. The grill does tremendous business. And we serve a lot of seafood, and we serve a lot of steak.
And
now,
not
if you
Omaha.
Can't come to the Trump Tower Grill, you can order from Omaha Steaks.
What?
It's a great company.
You could also go to McDonald's, couldn't we?
Steaks, chops, and seafood.
Welcome to the Omaha Steaks team,
you
guys.
Thank you very much.
We are totally excited to be working with you.
We'll only buy beef from certain parts of the country. And you know, that's the great thing about living in Omaha, Nebraska.
What about Arizona? Do you buy beef there?
No, we don't.
Is that slaughtering done in a certain way?
Gary's asking questions that don't really tip their hand to us as to what exactly they're looking for. How long do you age it? All Omaha steaks are aged for 21 to 28 days. Then we flash freeze it. It's basically put into a state of suspended animation.
So it's fresh frozen.
Besides the steak, what is more popular, the chicken or the fish for you guys?
Oh, that's a good question.
Did you say suspended animation?
Yes, well, suspended. You know, it's frozen.
Nothing's moving. Gary's ears perk up.
Animation is moving.
Right.
So can you take my head and freeze it?
It's cold.
I'm very subtle and mysterious in my working with the team. They're unaware of the focus I have because I don't show them I have focus. And that's part of my art. That's part of my mystery.
It is. He is very mysterious.
He says he has what he wants me to say.
I want you to talk about dearly on Father's Day. The Omaha steak between two loving people.
And it's your dad, you know, and you say it's a bone-in ribeye, and it's a man's meal, and now you're doing something back for him.
It'd be great to bring your dad a kite.
It would be.
A kite?
Yeah.
Oh, he thought he used a Jewish slander.
I'm hoping he forgets that, because I don't see how that makes any sense, and I don't know how I can translate that to an audience about flying kites and Omaha steaks.
The gift for the father is a kite. They can fly together, and it has a great picture of an Omaha steak.
Okay, Gary, kind of got to me yesterday.
A meat kite,
boy.
I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah,
with a bacon
tail.
He goes,
shut up, boy, and listen to me.
Yesterday, off camera, Gary said, "You sit down and listen to me, boy. I'm nobody's boy," including Gary Busey, and I did not like that at all.
You let somebody call you boy? Last time somebody called you boy, I said, shut up and listen to me, boy. I don't know how to talk to somebody like that.
That's the thing with Gary. He finds these moments when he knows the cameras really aren't rolling and following him. That's
listen
when
me,
he gets
boy?
Out of the toolbox and starts going to work on you, and it's really unnerving.
He has a toolbox?
Doesn't matter what he says.
I love that guy won't shut up about that boy thing.
He's such a liar.
I don't believe it
for a second.
When Gary said he called him cowboy, but he said cowboy, anybody else I would go, what? But Gary is like, okay, that's probably what he meant.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's probably what he meant.
Yeah.
Now, the best part is when Gary does do the – Meatloaf does the presentation and Gary does the little talking part. But you know what's funny is the whole time Meatloaf is stressed out about how he doesn't know how to cook or anything, and that chef shows him what to do, and then he does it, like, perfectly.
Yeah.
The two jackasses from Omaha Steaks are like, wow, he's really good at cooking meat and stuff. And it's just like, he just learned that day.
It's because his name's Meatloaf.
Yeah.
That's why Gary chose him. He's like, well, there's meat in his name. So.
Meatloaf. And, you know, the Lil John and John Rich, they didn't really try to help or anything. They just wanted to hang him out to dry.
No, they didn't. They were just being dicks.
They wanted to hang him out to dry so they could get rid of him finally. But let's go ahead and check out this great moment here. Oh, and maybe John will bring up being called boy again.
Kaboy.
Gary goes, well, John Rich handled the menu. That sent my blood pressure up, and I went, that is not my job to approve. That is your job. Every time I try to tell you anything, you bite my head off.
No, you
have all day yesterday.
No, it's question.
And you called me boy on top of that yesterday. Listen to me, boy.
Here we go again.
You said good boy.
You said, listen to me, boy.
Good boy.
Yesterday. And you can't talk to people like that. And you did call me boy, and don't call me boy ever again.
I called you toy.
Ever call me boy.
I don't recall it. I'm sorry.
I called you goy.
I actually know.
Because you're not Jewish.
Because you should apologize when you did it and not let a whole day go by and me have to bring it up. You're so unaware you even did that to me. You never
you
even said
Dago?
Anything about it.
My name is Meatloaf.
It's racial
which
slurs.
Is appropriate, I believe, for Omaha Steaks. You will not find a better piece of meat than an Omaha steak. Gary?
I'm going to give you a vision to see. A 14-year-old boy, a 12-year-old daughter decide they're going to make a meal for their father. Now, the kids bring the meal in. The father sits down. The father looks at the kids and
I'm
goes,
picturing it.
We made this for you, Dad. Thing. Hope you like it. So Dad starts eating.
Excuse
and the kids
us while
like,
we call the fire company.
Okay. And the father wells up tears. Then he looks at his son and daughter and says, this is so beautiful. For
you're
you
not my children.
And the gift
you
the father
the
gets
fire.
On you're
Father's
adopted.
Day is a big kite. And on the kite, it says, Heartland Quality Omaha Steak since 1917.
I wondered if the kite would make an entrance on the presentation, and sure enough, it came flying right in there.
And the father flies the kite, gets the kite in the air, and gives it to the daughter and the son, and here they are. They're flying the kite over the house, so they have a good feeling in their stomach, and guess who gets to see the kite? Everybody in the neighborhood.
I kind of looked up at people's faces, and there was this kind of look like...
It's kind of scary Gary
and
voice
I went,
there.
Yep, that's how I felt all day.
John Rich, what did you think of Gary as your project manager?
It was a catastrophic collapse of time management.
Gary, what did you say about the Father's Day meal?
I said that Father's Day, 14-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter make a meal for their father.
14-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter. Got it.
With stuffed potatoes. They bring it to their father. They look into their father, hoping he'll like the meal. And when the father's eating the meal, a tear falls out of his eye. And he's so happy.
It's because it's overspiced and burnt.
And they eat the Omaha steaks, the bone-in ribeye, and they go outside. The gift to the father is a kite. And they take the kite out, and it has Heartland quality Omaha steaks since 1917. And they fly that kite after having eaten the best steaks in the world. And they fly the kite. People in the neighborhood see the kite. Omaha Steaks, that's pretty nice. And they're flying the kite in joy of the Omaha steak. And it's a father, daughter, son, Father's Day. With love.
I have no idea what he just said.
This is the line of thought and the way of thinking that was the entire task.
I love that everybody was just kind of like, what? Like all the women were?
Well, he tells the story and you can't help but listen to him because he's captivating, and then once it's over, you just can't figure out what the hell you were listening
to. But besides him kind of being a little nuts in the presentation, I thought they did a really good job because they cooked and stuff. The women had the shit already made. I thought that was lame.
I thought I was watching The Talk or something.
But still, I mean, how really is it different from any other commercial that the celebrities have created? You know,
well, they don't have that Kathy lady that's on the commercials in the middle of the night. Selling her Super Express XT cooker. That'd be better.
It's basically put into a state of suspended animation.
Oh, there you go.
Now, okay, one more clip, and this is when John Rich brings up the fact that Gary called him a boy. And the funniest part about this is Trump just kind of was like, yeah, whatever, but if you would have called Lil Jon a boy, that would have been a big deal, right, Lil Jon? He'd go, oh, hell yeah. I thought that was funny. That Trump he thinks it's kind of silly, but he just...
Trump's going racist.
Let's check this out.
Gary, why didn't you use the talents of John Rich, who's been a star on the show? Why didn't you use the talents?
I used the talents of John Rich.
Well, doesn't he get to write a song about steaks?
John, did he use your talent?
I exercise my patience more than I have in my entire life. Being referred to as boy is not
something... Calls you boy?
Yes, sir, he did
call me boy.
The
only one with a bigger problem with that name would be Little Jim.
That's right.
Right?
But it's a big...
Now, that would be a bigger problem,
right? It is a
big problem. Would that be a bigger problem?
Hell yeah.
It's a big problem.
Hell yeah.
I said kaboy.
Kaboy.
No, sir. You said sit down and listen to me, boy.
No, I didn't say
kaboy. And yes, you did, and now you're calling me a liar, and I won't
put up with
that either.
I said kaboy.
And I'm going to tell you how I was raised,
Mr.
Trump.
What did you say, cowboy?
Yeah, real quick.
What's cowboy?
It's like what they call the Dallas Cowboys.
They call them cowboys.
They call them cowboys.
I've never once heard that in my entire life.
Are you from Texas?
Yes, ma'am. I was raised by men.
Born and bred.
Who shall respect.
Born and bred.
And when you call a grown man who has earned a right in this world, boy.
I hate that kind of...
No more.
So when he says he called you cowboy, he said cowboy.
He is lying.
I can't imagine the word cowboy. I've never even heard of it.
Sit down and listen
to me, cowboy. Supposing he said cowboy, sit down.
Sit down and listen to me, cowboy.
Cowboy.
My name is John.
Supposing he said cowboy, sit down. That's not so great either.
That's still offensive.
My name is John.
That's still offensive.
Okay. That's cowboy offensive.
Yeah.
Everybody in the neighborhood. It's just offensive to the English language.
Everybody's so darn sensitive now.
Yep. Don't call me... Boy, cowboy, or cowboy. My name's John. I thought that was great. So, but Gary did say this really creepy, didn't he?
Everybody in the neighborhood.
Yikes.
I'm going to kill them all.
Wow.
What they don't know is attached to the kite is some nerve gas.
He's going to do just like the Joker and take out the whole city. Now, besides all that, I didn't really pay much attention to the women, except that now that Gary's gone and the men are happy, they'll show the women implode, right?
Yeah.
How has no one pointed out that Star Jones hasn't done anything?
Well, they say she does the
graphics.
The graphics. But the graphics are already created. All she's doing them. All she's doing is scanning them and putting them in Photoshop and sending them to the graphics people.
Yeah.
She's not doing anything but sitting on her ass.
You sit down and listen to me, boy.
Hey!
Cowboy.
Cowboy?
Cowboy.
All right, Bill, you remember last week we talked briefly about Jamie Oliver's food revolution, and we didn't have a clip or anything, but I decided this week, since Cake Boss is gone, might as well bring Jamie Oliver into the show, right?
Yeah.
And if, there's this one bit here where, remember last week we were talking about he's taking over, or he's bothering this guy who has a fast food place called, what is it called, Patras?
Patras, yeah.
And he's trying to make it healthy food and stuff.
Right.
So here he's trying to talk the guy into letting him take over his restaurant for 2 weeks. And the guy's like, no, I don't think so. Oh, and by the way, the guy's name is Dino. Let's check it out.
Last time, Dino made it very clear that he did not want me messing with his menu. He really didn't know anything about the food that he was serving. He knew nothing about his burgers or where that came from. We didn't agree on anything, so I'm hoping with a little bit of time passing, he might have come round to some of my ways of thinking.
Your burger has good stuff on it. It's good meat.
It's a better burger to start with.
Pardon me?
It's a better burger to start with. It's a better patty, which you agreed with.
It's a burger.
It's not a burger. It's a really...
It's a really good burger with really good...
But does that not have any...
Black Angus meat, but it's a burger.
Within seconds of talking to Dino, it was pretty obvious that we've made no progress whatsoever.
Can we have a quick chat outside?
I was really hoping that me and Dino could do this thing together, but it's not going to happen, so I'm going to have to do it on my own now.
Jamie Oliver has a head like a brick wall.
In a week, normally. Cash-wise.
Well, that's something that I don't want to say on camera.
Whisper it to me. Okay. So, if I was to say I could double that turnover, but I'd need complete control over the whole menu for 2 weeks. But the thing is, I can't have a proper experiment unless I have full control of the kitchen.
But why would I want to do that? You're saying because I'll double your business.
Yeah.
The other result could be it could lower the business.
I'm not
suggesting some bangers and mash on the menu.
Allowing you to come in here for 2 weeks, I can't. It's an established business. I have a living to make. I have 3 kids and a wife at home.
Wait
for a Cornish pasty burger.
You said 2 weeks.
Yeah, you just said 2 weeks is too much.
Established tea time on there.
You know, I'll be working
with
you.
What I'm concerned about is that you are from England, all right? And you weren't raised in this country at all, right? You were making a...
Whoa, where's he getting at with this?
Is what we call it. And trying to sell it as a milkshake.
Mm-hmm. So hung up this guy, he's on that.
Missing the point of what fast food is, you know? I initially told you I don't mind supplementing my menu. Now you're telling me you want to wipe my menu. What are you afraid of competing with my menu?
No.
I made you whatever...
Oh, it's your menu, no.
So don't touch my menu.
It's whatever, prove a point.
Whatever, prove a point. But my menu is not the only fast food menu in town.
No,
they're at every corner.
We're in America. It's not every
gas
corner.
Stations and fast food.
Oh, stop being such
That's
a smug prick.
There's about a of these places all around us.
Yeah, but they're all doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
So why can't we be unique? All right, if I can't take it over for one or
Put
two weeks.
Put some wheatgrass on that burger, right?
What about half and half?
What do you mean by half and half?
My menu and your menu next to each other. And and if I could double your business.
That means you've done
Would
an
you
amazing...
keep it going?
Yeah, oh, what am I, an idiot?
Sometimes in life you meet people that inspire you. Sometimes in life you meet people you want to inspire. And sometimes you just want to stab yourself.
Dude, you made
Please do
smoothie,
it, please.
Brother. You made a smoothie.
Please.
What you did...
Call it a smoothie.
And they're still arguing about the smoothie
Call it
thing.
A smoothie.
Why can't he call it a smoothie?
Why can't he call it a shake? What does it matter?
Yeah, exactly. Why does he have to – why can't he offer both options so that if somebody doesn't want the calories of a shake, they can have a smoothie with a little strawberry taste?
Yeah, I think the guy's just being difficult there. I mean, okay, it's a smoothie. Well, put a smoothie on the menu then, right?
Yeah.
And but the show is about bringing healthy food to school children and schools.
Yeah.
And why is he doing this?
Get into the school.
He's got to do something.
Yeah, and he's got to make a show.
He makes those.
And
kind
it's
of...
just this smugness about Jamie Oliver. Like he drops that little acid tongue comment about there's a fast food joint on every corner. He goes, well, it's America. Like F you, dude. You know, I mean, really, what is that? The only reason that the U.S. is fatter than the U.K. is because the U.K. is smaller. Really. If the UK was just as big as the US, it'd be just as fat.
I mean, I understand what he's talking about, is that everybody's stuck in their ways.
And if he was guaranteeing double the results, you know, why wouldn't you let somebody take over?
Well, he does. Well,
you wouldn't do that in a business sense, because what happens, you're either going to drive current customers away that are looking for a cheap, fast meal, or you're going to lose customers, maybe gain some different customers, but lose other customers because it's going to be more money.
Yeah, what they end up doing is the better idea, which is just put an additional menu on there.
Exactly.
I don't understand the part, though, where he keeps ordering things through the drive-thru. Is he just seeing if they make the food right when he's not there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's like the show, I enjoy watching it for like nutritional information and all that stuff. He can be very interesting. I liked his he did a special in the UK called Jamie's Foul Dinners, and it was all about chicken, where chicken comes from, how they're killed.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's like you don't like when it gets too preachy, and I can
exactly
understand that.
I like when he gets exasperated because he's too preachy, and I literally just want to bang my head into the wall.
Right. And, you know, the stuff at the schools, I can understand why he's frustrated, because they won't friggin' let him in there. Even sure. To see any of the meals. And
but they have to watch their ass, too. They don't, you know.
Right.
It's all politics.
Right.
No matter who is denying it, there's somebody above them.
And, you know, it's an entertaining show, but they do the dramatic thing. You know, yeah. I thought it was very sad when he's talking to the girl who's talking about her. Both her parents have diabetes. And her younger sister has diabetes. And in fact, she gives her insulin shots. That's really sad. She's just waiting for the day she gets diabetes. Really sad. Mm-hmm. Wants to teach her how to eat right and stuff. But they've also got to overlay the sad music over her story as she's telling it.
You know what, though? I have to take exception with that. Because when you take insulin injections, that's type 1 diabetes. That's a chronic, lifelong disease, you know, when the pancreas doesn't produce enough insulin.
Right.
That
thing, it has nothing to do with the girl's diet.
Exactly.
She was probably born
that could
like
be
that.
Juvenile diabetes.
Well, could it be because of her parents had it? Both had
yeah,
it?
Exactly. Yeah. It could be hereditary, mm-hmm. any number of things. It doesn't have to be because of weight. Granted, type 1 diabetes, you have to watch really, really closely. Yeah. That's some serious shit.
And it doesn't hurt. If they know how to eat. I mean, I'll say from my childhood, I didn't know shit about cooking and stuff, Bill. I didn't know shit about taking care of myself. And that's something that I've had to learn as an adult. And Bill, in fact, this week I made my first steak, prepared it myself, my first potatoes. And I mean, some people be like, what? But just seriously, every day for the last 3 weeks, I've been making myself breakfast, like eggs and stuff like that. And I never used to do that. I waste so much money in fast food places. But I'm not just doing it for nutritional value, but I really and genuinely want to learn to cook and prepare food for my family. Because I got to tell you, just seeing the look on my wife's face as I presented the plate, I even tried to plate it fancy, Bill. And that's awesome. And I go back to
he's working on that Scrambies idea.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been watching a lot of Gordon Ramsay's The F Word, which is all about trying to get people to cook. And when I hear like Carla from Top Chef or that one lady, what's her name, Bill, on the Food Network.
Paula Deen?
Yeah. One way of showing people how much you love them is preparing food for them.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want to do, right?
You know what? That's why I started cooking. I started cooking when I was in like fifth or sixth grade. I would come home from school and, you know, it was just me and my dad then living in Michigan on our own. And I just thought, you know, wow, I bet it would be really nice to make something for my dad whenever he came home. And I started out very easy. You know, I was making like burgers and sometimes even like a casserole following mm-hmm. recipes and stuff. And this is before the internet was prevalent. Right. So I'm like reading boxes and books and just – and that's what it was all – that's what it stemmed from, is having something nice for my dad when he came home, because I loved him and I appreciated him, and he came home from work and I saw how tired he was, and I was like, well, I'll have something for him whenever
he
gets
home. And 9 times out of 10, you know, it's like, I don't feel like making anything. Let's just order in.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
You just want to collapse after a long day.
And
if you have something for someone that you love, and you know, it shows them you appreciate them, and that's what food's all about—is sharing and, you know, sharing the love between one another.
And it makes me happy. And hey, at least I discovered it now than never. You know,
yeah. And it's fun.
And
once you really start to get into it, and you know, experience it and the science of it and all that, and watching it happen.
And when I realize most of the time it's putting olive oil in the pan before you throw something in, it's so easy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, all you got to do is start with olive oil, you know, with a lot of this stuff. Like I diced up the potatoes, Bill, and put in some rosemary and salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And soaked it in olive oil and then put it on the pan. That was really awesome, and I never knew it could be.
I love roasted potatoes.
I felt so proud of myself when I bought rosemary from the store. Like, rosemary, what the hell am I doing?
What is this? I didn't know there was this section in the produce aisle where you could actually buy fresh herbs.
I started out with something difficult, which is steak, and it's expensive, like even like a raw steak that you cook. So, you know, I want to start grilling chicken and stuff like that.
Well, you know what? There is cheaper cuts of meat. I love – one of my favorite things to do in the summer is get a couple flank steaks, like one of the cheapest cuts of meat, marinate them for a little while, and then throw them on the grill. And if you cut them right, they can be as tender as a filet.
Nice.
You know, it's just – you got to experiment and go for the cheaper cuts. Don't go for the ribeye first off.
Yeah, that's what I did first off.
Do you have a grill, outdoor grill?
No. I could get one though. I could even
get
a cheap
one. Well, it's time to get one.
Yeah.
And you know, also, you know, I started with something difficult. But what I was going to say is YouTube has so much cooking stuff on it.
Oh, yeah.
And you never would have thought that, but it's like, how do you prepare an omelet? There's like a million omelet videos, and you could watch like 10 of them and get an idea of what you want to do. You don't have
to do exactly.
And
everyone does it different.
Yeah, they do. Even like just watch Gordon Ramsay make scrambled eggs. You're like, what the hell kind of English way of breaking eggs is this?
He's putting butter in the eggs? Wait a second.
I figured out what I like to do with my basically, I kind of make an omelet. It's not really an omelet, but I don't scramble up the eggs. Mm-hmm. I kind of fold it in, and then I'm done kind of a thing. I've got my own way of doing it.
Yeah, I don't. Well, that's the way I do scrambled eggs also. I scramble them in a bowl, pour them in, and then let it cook and kind of like layer it over.
Yeah.
Again and again.
And then I have this nice, like, New York strip of egg there.
Yeah.
I love that.
Fancy egg.
All right. Hey, nice food talk, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
I cook too. I like to cook.
We need to do that.
We
need to start cooking together, Stephen. That'd be nice. Yep.
Maybe Stephen can get Vanessa over.
It's basically put into a state of suspended animation.
Easy.
Can cook somewhere outside of the bedroom.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
Scrambled
eggs.
All right, guys, let's talk about next great restaurant, huh? Ooh. And you know what I mainly want to talk about, Bill, is the dick chef of
I knew you were
Grill Bellies. What was this friggin' dude's problem? Did you see this, Steven?
No, I didn't see it.
It's like obvious. Anytime you get a guy like that, I mean, come on. If you have a mohawk, you want attention. So you obviously have
amazing,
some
huh?
issues.
Okay, first of all, like I didn't even notice this when I first watched it, but now that I made the clip, they're supposed to create a child's menu, which I call bullshit on this whole thing too, because I don't believe Chipotle has a child's menu or a toy, does it?
No.
And why does that guy always say,
I'm
Steve Ells. I'm the president and CEO and founder of Chipotle.
Yeah, and every time he introduces himself, he has to say the whole spiel. Like Bobby Flay or Curtis Stone or the other one.
Yeah, they just say, I'm who I am, but he goes, I'm Steve Ells.
That's because nobody knows who he is without saying that.
He's no one knows who the hell the woman is that can't speak a lick of English.
Yeah. She can't pronounce W's. Okay, so they're supposed to design a kid's menu, and the girl for Grillbilly goes, I want to make a nice turkey meatball type of thing. He goes, nah, can't do it. Be too dry. Okay, let's do like a chicken kind of thing. Nah, be too dry. All right, well, let's do a veggie burger or something like that. Nah, it'll dry out. And the guy's like, the other guy's like, he's like, let's do a kebab or something. Yeah, we can do that. It's like, what?
And wait, it, how is a kebab any different from those other things?
It's like, why is everything you make dried out? You know?
Oh, and Chipotle does have a kids menu, but it looks like garbage.
Oh, they do have a kids menu. Is it just like a taco or something?
Exactly. That's all it is. It's like a sectioned plate with lime rice, looks like some cheese, some chicken, and two taco shells, and some organic milk.
Shit a kid will never eat.
Exactly. Stuff that kids will pick at.
But you know what you do get, Bill? A Steve Ells bobblehead.
Hi, I'm... And it goes, hi, I'm Steve Ells, owner and founder of Chipotle Mexican Girl.
You kid.
Did you say Mexican girl?
Well, I was trying to do the you know, the slur, and it kind of came out girl.
Steven, who goes to Chipotle?
Everybody in the neighborhood.
Ah!
They sure do.
All right, let's check this out, and let's hear the guy being a dickhead. All right, let's see.
How do we tie in the Brooklyn Bridge to that?
Oh, man, we're running out of time.
I don't know. You're asking
me? Oh, first is Joe making his toilet.
I've been on the bottom three times in a row. I got to have something that you could see, feel, touch, and play with. I got a short amount of time to come up with something.
What are you talking about?
So think. What do my kids do? You know what? My kids love this game. I don't know if you're familiar. There's this mathematical strategy game where you put in chips and it's on a board with dots and you got to get four in a row.
Yeah, it's called Connect Four, you moron.
Yeah, Connect Four.
We can build it around the Brooklyn Bridge.
Or nachos.
The Brooklyn Bridge could just be a graphic on the front and then it would have all the holes cut here.
Slots.
Boom, I think we got a winner.
That was a brainstorm right there.
I felt we had maybe some divine intervention here.
I want to work where these guys work, where they just come up with toys and shit.
Okay, absolutely. Where you do like little mini meatballs. But turkey meatballs, you do like a sloppy Joe mixture.
Mm. Turkey burgers do have a tendency to dry out.
I was a preschool teacher.
Yeah, especially when they're soaked in sauce.
Years, so I know what appeals to kids these days.
I would have said, well, make them where they really won't dry out.
You're the chef. Chicken fingers with like a really good sauce.
But even if I do it right then in order, if it sits, it'll get dry.
Oh, Brandon is shutting down all of my ideas, and that's kind of frustrating for me because I have an exact idea of what
mohawk,
I want to put
like
out.
Me, you'd understand.
We haven't done our veggie burger yet, you know?
Can we pull a veggie burger off? Or?
I don't think kids would eat a veggie burger.
You know, I'm kind of moderating between Crystal and Brandon because he'll be upset that she's not listening, and she'll be upset that he's not listening, but hey, we're doing well. Let's keep it going, you know, just let's work together. What about grilling steak and kebabs with, like, citrus?
That's easy.
Your kids love that.
Oh, he goes, that's easy.
Like it.
I need to have input.
I get it. He hates
out.
That chicken.
Kids are kind of finicky. Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I really don't. I think chicken is probably better. We decided to do steak kebabs.
Wow.
We're incorporating like fresh veggies pineapple and then grilling them over with like one of our glazes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the kebab. So what if the kids maybe doesn't like beef? So chicken is something more diverse for the kids. It's about giving them a choice.
And maybe there's a dipping sauce or something that's fun for them to go into that you know is going to hit on some elements that kids like.
We're all about sauces, so, you know, we're good for it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank
See,
you very much.
It was a pleasure.
Did she say very much?
Grillbillies, who have done exceptionally well in this competition, are making kebabs. Chicken and beef on a long, sharp stick that no parent in their right mind would put in the hands of a child.
These are kid kebabs.
Put them in your hands.
You know you're really doing a bad job when Joe is the voice of reason.
Yeah.
He's like, what are they doing? I mean, kids like butter. Get a stick.
Yes.
Stick of butter, like a popsicle.
Yeah, fried butter.
That shit will be great.
But what, I mean, you know, her ideas were good. You know, she didn't even need to do a turkey meatball. Just do, you know, a turkey sloppy Joe.
Yeah,
you
and
don't
kids
have to be in meatballs.
Kids love corn on the cob. Give them that or something. It's just something.
Make it as long as it tastes good and it's messy. Kids love it.
And if a chef goes, well, it'll dry out or something, it's like, prepare it. Look up online. I probably could
Look,
in 2 seconds.
Maybe I need a better chef. How about that?
How about that, dick
know
face?
How you prevent meatballs from drying out? No bread.
You know what somebody needed to say to him?
You sit down and listen to me, boy.
That's right.
Comb your hair,
boy,
douchebag.
Mohawk boy.
Okay, now here's the best part. When that guy, the Mohawk dude, he's got all their kebabs lined up, and he's pushing them, and he knocks the thing over, dumping all their food on the ground.
I think he did it on purpose.
And what does he do? He doesn't play it cool or whatever. He starts cussing and kicking and stamping on the food and getting in everyone's way. And they're like, dude, what is... It was a chef's problem.
Why wouldn't he do that? That's a perfectly reasonable reaction to, the situation.
And then I love when they basically, and I don't know about you, did Bobby Flay's daughter seem kind of like have an attitude too?
Really? Just a slight attitude?
Maybe? I hate it, Daddy. So do I, sugar puss.
Daddy, sugar I want puss. It now.
Yeah, she's like the girl from Willy Wonka.
She's Veruca Salt.
She is. I want it now. I want a big kebab. So basically, when the Grillbillies girl kind of tells the guy, she's like, well, you know, we probably could have done this better. He's like, I don't care. Whatever. She's like,
what the hell do you know, Veruca?
And he's like, well, we really need to do something better with the food. You got to listen to me. He goes, eh, whatever. You know, the chef's not even listening. Let's check this out. I love when he knocks all the shit over.
Oh, my gosh. As we're transporting the food to our pod, Brandon hits orgasmic the bump and half of our food goes flying all over the place. I am
scared. It's Joe and I.
Bull.
Oh, hey, whoa. I don't want to mess it up for everybody else.
Well, it's already messed up.
My job now is to calm Brandon down and make sure that he's going to be with us to make this happen.
Fuck it up.
No, that's ridiculous. His behavior is just ridiculous. French. No, that's ridiculous.
Sorry, we run out.
No, it's not your fault, man. It is what it is.
I'm feeling horrible about this test. I don't like what we're putting out there. Half of it's on the floor, and we don't have enough food. So at some point, we're going to have to start telling people that.
My name is Bobby Flay.
I'm Lorena Garcia.
Hey, guys, I'm Curtis Stone.
My name is Steve Ells, and I started Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Why don't you tell us about your toy?
Our toy is called Billy the Lightning Bug. His butt lights up. If you push the button, it turns into like a little flashlight, and he also glows in the dark.
What about the toy?
I don't love the idea. It sounds good, but I don't think it appeals to many.
That girl's stupid.
I'm not really sure what it's supposed to accomplish.
What are you offering to the kids today?
It's a butt light.
I thought it was awesome.
The chicken has pineapple, broccoli, and cremini mushrooms.
Bug. It's
the steak
lightning.
Is a New York cut steak with fingerling potatoes.
So there's no sauce for the skewers, right?
Daddy, it tastes like
excrement. We actually
had a
little action on the way here and dumped most of our sauce and half of our trays. So we actually are, it's a little less than you get on the way. But that's a restaurant business and we're used to it, so.
With the skewers, I found both the beef and the chicken really dry.
My concern from a kid's standpoint is that they're going to hurt themselves with these. Thank you.
That's the idea.
Grillbillies, they had a horrible day in terms of food. It was some of the worst food I've eaten all competition.
I have worked in the restaurant business for a really long time, so I do want a say into what's going on, like as far as like why was the turkey burger not an option? They made a turkey burger.
They made a turkey meatball.
That's what she wanted. Did you hear that?
Might have put us on the chopping block.
You can blame me on the food. No, it's not.
It's just it's a little inconsistent sometimes.
I don't care.
It's not. But that's the thing. It's like
I'm not worried about it.
Shit, I'm not a contestant on the show.
Yeah. And that's what I told you after I watched it. I was so annoyed. Like, this show doesn't have enough investment for the chefs.
Yeah, they need to, like, next season have a person they bring in with them who's part of it or something.
Yeah, well, because these chefs could give a shit who moves on.
And he's like, whatever.
Why don't they offer the chef, you know, the 10 grand or 20 grand if their idea, if their team wins, you know?
But they shouldn't have to.
They need to give them something.
They got to give them something for their effort.
The one
thing that
Bobby Flay's daughter didn't understand is like, hello, it's a mascot for kids.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Well, the other thing that made me think of, like, I liked it. I thought it was really clever and cute and funny because when I was a kid, we would spend the evenings, like on the weekends at our grandma's farm, and there were lightning bugs everywhere. And we would chase them and put them in a jar and all that. And I thought that was kind of fun because it's very hillbilly-ish.
Yeah, but the girl's like, it's stupid.
I'm from the city. I've never seen a lightning bug. I don't get the point. Their butt lights up? That's so gross. But,
okay, that...
Daddy, make it go away.
Yeah, make the bad lady go away, Dad. He's like, we're going to have a throwdown.
Get it, I'm going to challenge you to a throwdown.
Now, let's just listen. When her stuff knocked over, this is the Grillbilly chick when she said, oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, dear.
Gosh.
Oh, really gave it to her.
Long, sharp stick.
Joe! What the hell, Joe?
I knew there was something between them.
It's a family show.
The Sunday sauce brought them together.
But did you guys know this?
My name is Steve Ells, and I started Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea who that guy was. Week after week.
All right, guys. Well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back and talk about some more shows. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Sounds great. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back, honey.
Bring your dad a kite.
Dear Flintstones kids, Camellia's young and growing.
No one helps kids grow into this big world better than Flintstones. Flintstones, preferred by more moms than any other children's vitamin.
And growing.
Triumph is ours! The battle of wizards and warriors continues with Iron Sword. Malkiel will take on the shape of the earth, wind, water, and fire. The fate of the world is in your hands!
Get Iron Sword for your Nintendo Entertainment System from Acclaim.
Double Dragon 2, The Revenge. Raw power for your NES. 9 incredible missions, 2-player simultaneous action. Double Dragon 2 from Acclaim, the best action game ever.
I was so hot. I was frying. My throat was like a desert, like Death Valley. I wish I had something polar, cold like North Pole. Whoa! A 7-Eleven Slurpee! What could be cooler? It's the ultimate cool.
Now when you grab a Super Slurpee, you can grab a free snake, shark, hand puppet, or a dinosaur. Pencil grabbers. You can collect all 16 only at 7-Eleven.
Well, Jim, I just got it.
Got what?
Disco Fever. This great collection of my favorite dance songs from the 70s Preservation Society.
I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
Sure is. Yeah. And you get 40 unbelievable hits on Disco Fever by the Bee Gees. Disco Fever. Let's go out and dance.
To order, call the number on your screen or send check or money order. Two cassettes just $19.99. Two CDs just $24.99. Order now. Receive a free 70s Preservation Society catalog. Do it now.
The Power Glove for your NES. Now you and the games are one. Everything else is child's play.
Quiet on the set!
Quiet! Ever wish you could follow the yellow brick road? Ever dream of joining Robin's merry band, visiting Never Never Land, or saving the universe from the evil empire?
The Force saved us!
Now you can do all that and more 5 days a week with the Muppet Babies. They'll make your dreams come true.
Tomorrow at 3 on the KZBA Kids Club.
From Touchstone Pictures.
Let's jam, dude.
5 spaced out Martians are spending their spring break on Earth.
Toga, toga, toga.
Whoa, that guy's toast.
And everyone is joining in.
You ought to be in our wet park decanter.
Maybe later.
Whoa, who ordered the quarter tonner?
Does she come with fries?
Now, it's the most
excellent
party ever.
Blue and blue eyes. We gotta go now.
Spaced Invaders.
Na, 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 na.
Rated PG. Starts Friday, April 27th at a theater near you.
What brings a cool cat like you to this side of the sea?
Wow, this totally awesome way.
Oh, now I need a really rad breakfast to help get me back home.
Then follow your nose. To fruit flavor it goes. Smell the natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors of Kellogg's Fruit Loops.
Most tubular.
The most delicious part of this complete breakfast.
The Fruit Loops are excellent.
Another bowl?
Hey, that'd be gnarly, dude.
That means yes, doesn't it?
Does this make sense, Dave? Looks like a secret message.
You can send and receive secret messages with a Rescue Ranger secret decoder. Two free in Kellogg's Fruit Loops.
It's the truth. Your principal can't smile, can't swim, can't rap, and
can't stand bubble tape.
Your school bus driver can't drive. Wears curlers, makes funny noises, won't try bubble tape.
No way, Jose.
Bubble tape. It's 6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them.
Well, you like him?
Yeah.
You like him, like him?
Yeah, but I'm sure he thinks I'm a geek.
She must think I'm a total nerd. Every time I see her, she just ignores me.
He's got this hair that kind of goes bloop.
So do you like her? She's okay, I guess.
Yeah, you like her.
When I'm around him, I just don't know what to say.
Look who's here. Hi. See, I told you she didn't like me.
Is he gone yet?
Every day gives birth to Christmas, Father Chris.
Down.
Come on to the crib, crack a motion. If the sparkling souffle that falls in a commotion.
Now.
Come on to the crib, crack a motion.
You put it on your brush and move it all around. It's got a good taste, move it up and down.
And
now.
So come on and do the crib, crack a motion with me.
And now available in a clear tube.
Joystick and get ready to ride. It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I'm Mario. My brother Luigi and I are hot. Watch us take on the baddest bad guy in town, King Koopa. He's got his hooks out for Princess Toadstool. But we're gonna stop him cold. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show. It's awesome.
Super Mario, tomorrow at 7.
This box.
It's not a box.
It's a club!
You mean a golf club?
No, the Crafty's Macaroni Club.
You can get all kinds of new stuff like... Whoa!
Wrong door.
Like a painter's cap and Eglo shoelaces. And there's a club game book with more neat stuff.
Yeah, and... Fix that door.
You can send in $2.95 and 3 proofs of purchase. Details on boxes. Wrap macaroni and cheese.
It's not just a box.
It's a club!
Isn't this romantic?
Uncle Scrooge and Company has a special message just for you.
Surprise!
All the DuckTales fun and excitement is even better when you share it with a friend.
Ooh, this I like.
So take it from your DuckTales pals, both old and new.
I won't let you down.
They've got good times and plenty of adventure waiting just for you.
We're inseparable.
On Disney's DuckTales.
Tomorrow at 3:30 on the KCBA Kids Club.
When you power up with a complete protein-packed breakfast with low-sugar Cheerios, you're unsinkable.
Mm.
Follow me.
You're unsinkable with those Cheerios.
Way to go.
With those unsinkable
Cheerios.
You stay on top, you're powered to go.
All right.
You're never sunk with Cheerios.
Are you sinkable?
Unsinkable.
You're never sunk with Cheerios.
Sometimes you just want to stab yourself.
I do all the time. I'm a cutter, guys.
That's
pretty big. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, turns her on, I guess. All right, guys, so let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. Gordon Ramsay is back, and he's gone to a Jamaican restaurant, Mom.
Irie, Irie.
I love this lady's excuse for a lot of things. Well, that's because you're not Jamaican. That's why you don't like the food.
It's supposed to be dry.
I remember one time we went to Heather's friend's house who had her African boyfriend over, and he made some jerk chicken, and that shit was awesome. That was like, hey, African guy, this shit is off the hook.
Hey, African cat.
African cat, yeah. It was really like, oh my gosh, kind of good, Steven.
Oh my gosh.
What the hell?
Sometimes it can be pretty damn good.
And you know what the crazy thing about that guy was?
His butt lights up.
No, that's not what
it is. That's talent.
He's a firefly. All right. So anyway, on Kitchen Nightmares, Gordon shows up, and of course the place is horrible. And you know, they did the same thing where the son met him first, Bill. Where he's like, hey,
yeah,
I gotta tell you,
I noticed that.
My mom's a doctor, and she didn't take no shit. So anyway, let's check this out.
Hello, Dr. Morris. How are you?
I'm really blessed seeing you.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
My name is Yuna, but everybody has called me Dr. Morris.
Wow, okay. Doctor, good to see you.
Good to meet you all.
Can't wait to taste this.
Hi there. How are you doing?
It looks like you're having some hot flushes. You all right?
Yeah, it's hot in here.
Is it?
Yeah. Plus, it's wearing this get-up as well. I mean, I feel like I'm at a funeral sometimes when I come to work.
Wow. Not good. Soggy pile of dough. They'll kidnap me if I serve that in Jamaica right now.
How are the patties?
The sauce is dreadful.
I don't like it myself.
It's like a gloop. The sad news about the pate, the pastry's undercooked. It's hideous, hideous.
Let me get rid of these for you.
Ugh.
Guys, do not put any more jerk sauce on his plate. He hates it.
Nasty.
Jerk sauce? That doesn't
not
sound
right. Seasoning there.
Cold. Why is it white and creamy?
No on the jerk sauce.
Cold chicken. Disgusting overcooked rice. And when was
smells
that chicken
like
cooked?
Leech.
I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
Don't ask, doctor. This is dry as hell.
Will do.
Thank you.
When was the chicken made, Dr. Warren?
What, he didn't like it?
No, he said it was dry.
You know why? Jerk chicken is dry in Jamaica. It's supposed to be dry.
He doesn't eat Jamaican food every day. I eat it every day. So I don't know what he knows of jerk chicken.
Jamaica, man.
Cartilage everywhere.
This shit did look nasty.
What a mess.
Cartilage.
$20.
How's the oxtail?
Sadly.
Oxtail.
Nothing's been trimmed, so it's full of fat. Bland. And the temperature. I mean, everything across the board here was sort of barely lukewarm.
Okay, let me get rid of that for you.
What an embarrassment.
I would like a word with you.
I'm not afraid of Chef Ramsay.
I'd like to talk to you and Kieran.
Even if he had horns, I wouldn't be afraid of him.
Okay, I'm embarrassed.
Which means he would be from sick.
I walked in a dining room that felt cold and just flat. When the food arrived, soulless. Everything was horrendous. Barely lukewarm, dry, and tasteless. It's an insult to Jamaica. As for the jerk sauce, disgusting. Honestly, hot flashes? Isn't that a system of menopause?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
It depends on how you perceive it.
Forget the strange name. That's dreadful. Jerk chicken, dry.
Just a minute. Let me set you straight.
Whoa.
Most jerk chicken in Jamaica are dry. As a matter of fact, let me finish. I feel that the jerk chicken that we do are more moist than the one they do in Jamaica.
Right. Now, let me tell you something also.
Let me finish
my sentence first. Mostly dry, I can accept. Dry and edible, I can't. I'm ready for an argument, because I am not going to sit here and kiss your ass for trying to tell me that is a Jamaican jerk chicken.
You're trying to lecture me. No, I'm not trying to lecture you.
I wouldn't walk into your hospital and attempt to tell you your job.
I am telling you.
I don't know what kind of herb from Jamaica you've been smoking, but that is disgusting crap.
Dry herb.
I love that he calls it.
It's glaucoma medicine.
Is that like an English thing that you say herbs, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we...
They pronounce the entire word, unlike us. We're lazy.
The thing I don't understand is that we say fillet.
Fillet.
And they say fillet. It seems like it should be the other... We should be like fillets, and they should say fillet. Doesn't it seem like that?
Yeah.
We say basil, they say basil.
Another thing I don't understand, like, since we're talking about race so much on this episode of Nowhere in Mulberry, black people always say aunt. Have you ever noticed that? They never say aunt.
Aunt,
like,
auntie.
I have an aunt, but they always say my aunt. They always pronounce that one word like that, aunt. Why?
Yeah, but they say axe instead of ask.
No, Bill, that's a generalization.
No, it's not.
I'm distancing myself from that.
Are you from Texas?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, what was great is when he was like, what's with all these bags? Like, she had everything was in Ziplocs.
Ziploc made a shitload of money off that lady.
They did, and I wanted to get me some jerk sauce.
Not a drip.
So anyway, let's... What about that part where all the salads are in, like... What were they, like, cocktail, like...
Yes, the rims were done with the dressing.
It was weird looking. And, of course, Gordon, he has to go a little nuts over this. Let's check this out, guys. Roll it, Foggy.
Where does the food serve from?
The window? It's right there.
That's the window there. You are kidding me.
Try to work with what we got.
You are shitting me.
Exactly.
Kingston Cafe's complimentary salads get sent out to the diners.
What the f*** is that in a martini glass?
The salad.
Salad? Daniel?
Yes.
Who put the salad in a martini glass? Is there a doctor in the house? How many glasses?
There's trays in the corner there that they take.
Oh my God, you are kidding me. Who's doing all this? Oh, my good God.
Gordon, if you continue like that, Jesus Christ actually going to appear.
I hope so, because I think that's what's needed right now.
I hope so. I don't know if later on when he remodeled the restaurant.
Even he would hate your jerk chicken.
He remodeled
Jesus
the restaurant.
Jesus would say it's dry.
She was walking around going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he goes... Oh, doctor, Jesus Christ is going to appear. that was great. And I love it. He tried to get the son in the business, and he was like, you should make your son a partner. He's really into this. She's like, yeah, okay. Then afterwards, it's like, he went off to school, and the mom, she kept running the business. She's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, no doubt that kid just went, you know what, I'm not dealing with your shit, you crazy Jamaican lady.
I'm not listening to Gordon Ramsay. Now go make you some jerk sauce in the kitchen.
Not a drip.
All right, stop it.
All of a sudden she sounds Italian.
I'm gonna make me some of the jerk sauce, hey!
Sometimes you just want to stab yourself.
Hey. Now, Bill, I want to talk about Top Chef Masters because this actually went through my mind. Here's what I do. I make myself a nice breakfast or whatever. I sit down and I'm like, I'm going to watch Top Chef Masters. The food they make on this show is so good. It's going to augment what I'm eating and make it even taste better. Little did I know, this was the episode where they're going to pull out cooking bugs. And I was like, dude, I'm eating here. Let's just check this out because picture me on the couch eating my breakfast and I'm like, I'm changing the channel.
For today's quick fire, we're going back to our roots, literally. Here's a range of items that you can find in the wild. Grass, leaves, flowers, roots, and these guys, horned worms.
Horned what?
Worms.
More than half of these are protein. Duckling beetles.
Earwigs from the Wrath of Khan.
We're going to have to cook with freaking bugs.
Crickets. They have three times more iron than
not
beetles.
Bad.
These are Canadian night crawlers. They're really high in calcium.
X-Men. The teleportation powers.
And finally...
Mate.
Scorpions. Lots of vitamins, but you might want to pull off the stingers.
I don't care how many.
Come on, guys, at least it's organic. Take these ingredients and make a 5-star dish for the ultimate bug eaters.
I'm really curious if they are enthusiastic bug eaters or if they're I need to do it to survive bug eaters. Either way, I couldn't do
like
it.
Like they were rare disease. That's
I'm grossed out. I don't eat bugs. I don't cook with bugs. I'm fully aware that these insects have a lot of nutrients, vitamins, but if there's a bug that turns up in my apartment, I kill it. I make a coconut milk and hornworm soup.
That.
I've eaten crickets but never cooked with them. I had crickets in Bangkok, and they were just whole and tasted like soy. So I want to do an Asian-inspired dish with these crickets and kind of work in the salsa fee with that.
They're not very delicious.
Were you expecting delicious?
I select scorpions. I know that a lot of guys are going to rush immediately for the fryer, and so my thought is we'll throw them on the grill and grill them up. I've never eaten a bug. I used to stick them in my brother's mouth against his will when he was a kid. And I'm sorry for that, Richard.
Oh, that's it for the bugs.
I'm not sure if beetles get softer as you cook them. Do they stay crunchy?
I don't really know, but I chopped them up pretty good.
I got the crickets. I think this is pretty much the grossest thing I've ever had to cook with.
But I haven't won yet. But man, it's kind of been bugging me.
I'm going to do a tempura batter with the cricket. Then I'm going to make a sunchoke and carrot puree. So all that together is going to be a really pretty salad.
I'll eat every kind of eyeball, brains. I'll eat anything but bugs. I'm just dry toasting them. I am thinking, how can I mask these flavors? I decide to make a spicy Thai flavored salad with a vinaigrette of beetles. Perfectly toasted.
You bugging out?
Bugs are living and I'm living.
Bugs are not living in
there. Those are your bugs. My bugs are happy and safe.
I grew up in New Delhi, India. My parents were Hindus. We ate what was abundantly available without somebody having to take another life. Butchering animals is something I just can't do. What I'm presenting is a Himalayan salad. I've also included is a jar of green worms that they have the option of cooking with the torch I provide.
I thought it was funny, give them a torch so they could cook it themselves.
I've seen that the one judge, the guy on stuff before as a survivalist, he's like hardcore Army Special Ops guy.
Yeah, what their show is called Man, Woman, Wild, and I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Mike Hawk, I believe his name is.
And that chick was his wife, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. She was kind of cute.
Yeah, and she eats bugs.
But he looks exactly like Billy Jack.
Yeah, he was hardcore. He was munching down on all those bugs. He didn't care.
Yeah, he pulled that green horned worm apart, and all the guts poured out of it.
The funniest part was Curtis having to eat all of it, too. You could tell he was just like, ugh, why do I have to do this? That was pretty funny. But, man, that I was just like, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes until this part's over. And then they did the thing where they had to serve their own food and stuff. But it's a fun show, and I like that Suvir guy. And, you know, I like the guy who got eliminated, too. The guy who apologized to his
brother. I don't think he deserved it. That chocolate pudding was shit.
He made a risotto that they thought was kind of boring. But, hey, at least you can eat it. It was the girl's pudding that they said just had granules in it. Send her home. Ugh. I don't understand why they send that guy. I don't know.
And I'm sorry for that, Richard.
That's all right. So, Top Chef Masters, good stuff.
Yep.
Cooking bugs.
Wasn't bad.
Cooking bugs, man. All right, let's talk about Quantum Kitchen because
hey, I got to warn you guys, I might drop out here. We're having a huge storm. The whole house just shook from a lightning strike. So,
ooh.
You know, you never know. If I'm gone all of a sudden,
okay.
Power's out.
Okay. Hopefully, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Not a drip.
All right, Bill, Quantum Kitchen. This week, Marcel talks about plates again.
Mm. Yep, because he's obsessed with how his food looks.
He's an artist, and that's his canvas.
A blank canvas. I did like the whole fireman motif with the fire table and stuff, but...
I thought the fire table was really cool, but they only had, what, like four dishes?
Mm-hmm.
That was a little, you know... I expected a little more from Marcel.
Weak sauce or jerk sauce?
A little both.
My favorite part is when he says, you know, I'm not some crazy chef making crazy demands here. But I slipped a little Easter egg of another sci-fi show in one of these clips, and let's just wait and see if we hear that. But let's check out Quantum Kitchen.
Speaking of dishes, I've kind of had some issues, I guess, in the past. And so I'm planning on, like, ordering all my own plates.
Well, that's not really the way that we do it.
Yeah,
the way I see it, food is like my art outlet, and the plates are essentially my porcelain canvas. So why wouldn't I be able to display my own art the way
you
I see
thought
fit?
About this a lot.
The toilet's my porcelain.
I mean, I can guarantee you that I know what I'm doing until I actually get to see what you're planning. I don't know if I'm comfortable.
You know, typically what I will do with a chef is that I'll work with them to pick the plates. But Marcel wanted full control over the plateware, which made me uncomfortable because I just want to make sure that it looks good on the table. I want to see the food. If you can show me what the food looks like, we might be able to work something out.
Come on. If I give you a tasting and I show you the food that I'm going to be creating, you should let me pick out my plates.
Now we're going to make the apple gelatin that we're going to inject into the ribs.
I have a ringtone like that.
I'm kind of worrying about my dish.
What did you think
I'm
about this, Bill? Injecting apples into the ribs?
Measured out
I thought
perfectly.
It was gross.
Just waiting on your chef.
I don't want to eat a rib and crunch into something.
If you weren't 10 times my size.
Gotta make love to the meat.
I invited Sasha in for a tasting so that I could pick out my plates. But now, I'm kind of regretting that decision because the only thing I have ready is the langoustine cocktails.
Now this part...
Why do you think zombies eat brains? Because brains are good. We want to break up the shells to get out the head goo.
Now, okay, before we get into this, this lady says, I don't eat shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, I was like, enemy for life!
Yeah.
Because I've said it once, I'll say it again. Shrimp, top five best foods on planet Earth.
Yeah, when shrimp.
When people don't eat shrimp, enemies of the state. All right, let's check
it out. I was wondering if she had like
shellfish allergy.
Yeah, I wondered that too, but then see
she
what
just
happens.
Said she doesn't like it.
Watch this.
Hey, we're doing a little play on shrimp cocktail.
I actually don't eat shrimp.
So I just spent the last hour scrambling to get something ready for Sasha. And then I find out she doesn't eat shrimp, and that's basically the only thing that I have ready for her. This is a disaster.
It's not really a shrimp.
Here's Jared saving
it's about this
day.
Big. It's much bigger than a shrimp. It's a langoustine, so it's like a smaller clawed lobster.
Delicious.
What is the taste, though? Because
it's totally different than shrimp.
I will give it a shot.
Go for gold.
Go for gold.
See, guess what? It tastes just like shrimp.
If it was, she couldn't eat that if she was allergic, right?
No, it's shellfish. It's all shellfish.
I know this wasn't really the tasting that Sasha expected, but at the same time, I basically held up my end of the bargain, so I'm still going to have Robin send her the plate order.
Yeah, so she sends in the plate order, right? I bet nothing will go wrong, guys, will it?
No. She's got it all printed out and ready to go.
So let's see what happens.
Every single time I do a party, I seem to have like this massive issue when it comes to plates.
These are like not even totally fine. These aren't like the plates that I ordered.
Uh-oh. And when I get here, sure enough, the debacle of plates continues. Like, I'm gonna break all these plates right now. I'm not just being this crazy chef with, like, these asinine demands. Believe it or not, there's actually, like, a method to my madness. Like, why my plates? So the idea is to smoke the ribs underneath the cloches, so that way, when we remove the cloche, it'll create, like, a really cool smoky effect. But the only problem is the plates need to match the cloche, otherwise the smoke is going to escape and totally ruin the effect.
No.
These were supposed to be round, so that this guy could fit here so that the smoke would billow. But unfortunately, since you put this on here, coming out the sides.
I get the order from Robin. I place the order with the rental company. A different plate gets delivered than what she thinks she ordered. I'm a little upset.
Well, I'll see what they can do. This is the photograph that was on the order.
Oh, so this is not the photograph that I saw on the order.
I am not going to take the rap for these dang plates.
Marcella and the same plate. Just get some paper plates, right? Me.
Why do I spend an entire day picking out plates?
Chime, that works perfectly well.
Somebody else cooked this.
I love when Marcel gets like this, where he just butters stuff under his breath.
The team investigates the vicious chupacabra.
What? It sucks out the blood of its prey.
And they've uncovered evidence.
This is a specimen.
You have to see to believe.
Sasha, whoa. I can't serve your ribs awesome. On a square plate.
Next week on Marcel's Quantum Kitchen, guys.
I don't need to get the plate fixed.
We're going
to
cook the chupacabra.
Really irritated and really mad. I'm not going to take the bullet on. That's bullshit.
Just so you know, the ribs aren't really going to be smoking because the plate's the wrong size. So, just let you know.
Just letting you know.
This is my version of chili. It's almost got like a meatball on top. It's a chili croquetta. And then around the rim, there's several
did
different
you like
types
those guys?
Of
like, what
chilies.
The hell
actually
is this?
Inviting you to
some
test the heat and go as hot as you want to go.
Damn,
if the dish gets a little bit too hot, you can cool yourself off with some milk and honey. It's milk and honey inside the extinguishers. So if it gets too hot, you can always cool it down.
You're so
my
clever.
My version of chili has got beans and stuff and comes in a big bowl. And we get this very kind of inside-out chili. I was kind of concerned the guys were really not going to understand what it was, whether it was something to look at or eat.
Because they're dumb.
They're good.
It's on a plate in front of me. What do you do with it?
It's very tasty.
Normally at the fire station, the chili is just a mass of beans with a hunk of cheese on it. This was very creative.
This is great chili.
It was more of a puree. It was with the jelly, chilies, and it was very good.
I don't like spicy stuff, so I would have gone for the mild gelatin cube.
Yes, that was so stupid.
What else did they
was
make?
Was there four different
gelatin cubes?
It would get hotter and hotter as you go. And I'm trying to remember the ribs.
Bell pepper.
Now, I love ribs, but I don't think I want apple types.
I don't want apple gelatin in my ribs.
I mean, maybe it might be good, but it just seems kind of like...
Applewood smoked ribs are delicious.
And what is that supposed to be?
I don't want apple in.
Is this supposed to be, Bill, you bite into it and it's crunchy like a bone?
No,
it's jelly.
Gelatin.
Oh, okay.
It's like,
it just looks like the bone when you pick it up.
Yeah.
So it's actually just applesauce,
it's
right?
Applesauce.
Yep. Pork chops and applesauce.
Pork chops and applesauce. That's awesome. But, yeah, stuff like that. Good episode.
Yeah, it was a little weak.
I think there's one more episode.
It was pork chops and weak sauce.
Pork chops and weak sauce. Now, the chili, I'm a fan of chili. Might have tried that with the dinosaur egg. You just, like, break it open and it spills out or something. And I don't think Jared screwed anything
along with
up
a lizard. I think they did pretty good this week.
Yeah,
except for the one dude when he mismeasured the gelatin, but...
Yeah, the mixologist mismeasured.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
If you continue like that, Jesus Christ actually going to appear.
All right, guys, let's talk about Fringe. Fringe has been gone a while, guys. It's nice to have it back. And you remember, guys, I was a little afraid this would be Inception episode. It might become Inception, but not so much. They turned it on its head and made it different. And I didn't know anything about this because I actually watched this this morning. I didn't get to watch Fringe until this morning. And when the animated part comes up, I was like, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah.
I thought it was trippy. And I'm surprised, actually, that nobody spoiled that for me over the week.
I was very glad that no one spoiled that.
Because I was like, talk to you about it.
And I love their like, William, you're a cartoon. He goes, you should look at yourself. And then they're cartoons too. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I love the whole bit with the people coming after them and then the zombies come through. It was and it was that doctor guy, wasn't it? It was the Walternit's assistant,
yes.
And he also works as Massive Diamond. But just that, before any of that happens, when Nina Sharp is there and she tries to push him down the elevator,
get that robot hand.
And he pushes her, and he goes, ah! I thought that was great. But before any of this happens, there's a great moment where they basically talk Peter into taking LSD, and some funny shit happens. Let's check this out.
Whole brain emulation. It's not one of Bentley's old projects. It describes how an inorganic host can house organic material. We're going to put Bentley in the computer. Lots to do and not much time. While we go into Olivia's mind, you can get to work on this. It's very self-explanatory.
Wait. Enter Olivia's mind how?
We've done it before. When Olivia and Agent Scott shared the dream state, it's a simple variation.
Walter.
And as you know, every brain generates a quantifiable electric field. If we can tune ours precisely to Olivia's, then we can share her mind. We can go looking for her.
Walter, where do you keep the neurosensors?
Back shelf by the fish food.
If I remember correctly, you had to put an electromagnetic probe into her brain and dose her with a massive amount of hallucinogenics.
Of course. LSD.
That could solve the superego problem.
Oh, that is brilliant, son. This may be a weird time to ask, but have you ever tripped?
Are you suggesting that...
Of course. It's Olivia's mind we're entering. Presumably it will be some maze-like iteration of her psyche, memories, her subconscious. You know her better than anyone. If she is lost in her mind, then we need you to guide us.
Astrid!
We need to mix up 2,000 milligrams of LSD, and we need some sugar cubes. Please. Your first son? Don't be nervous. Imagine there are things in this very lab that are as mind-blowing as anything that I've experienced while tripping. Besides, this is merely a conduit to Olivia's mind, and when we get there, we should all be very cogent. Typically, you'd feel the effects of the drug in 30 to 45 minutes, but I've added an accelerant. You can start to prepare the sedative, dear. I'll go now, Belly.
Peter, don't worry. I'll keep my eye on the monitors. I'll make sure you're okay.
How's it coming?
So far, so good.
What?
You're bald. I think he's an observer.
It's okay, Peter.
Drugs?
Yep. Lots of them.
Yeah. I love Drugs. Later on where he's just looking at the Twizzler. Whoa.
Goes on forever.
She's like, what did you touch?
Did you touch the tray over there?
Yeah. But the best part is when the animated bird lands on Walter's shoulder.
Yes.
But I loved when they get into the airship, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they're in the first the zombies come and he pushes one in the fan. I thought that was awesome. Then they go up into the airship, which I thought was cool. And then there was a strange saboteur there.
Saboteur!
I loved the whole animated thing. It was just really cool. Like, when it would come back from the break, from a commercial break, and still be a cartoon, I was happy. Just because I thought it was something. And that's what I love about the show, that they do shit like this. You know, they do cool ideas like this. Like, what if we do some animation type stuff?
Well, it was a cool idea on its own, but then, because it was such a grand idea... To use, they would never be able to do it live action, or it would just look awful with CGI and whatnot.
Right.
So to do it, animation was just genius.
It was really so cool, and I love that sequence where Walter's falling. I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
Then he wakes up suddenly, and just the whole bit with finding Olivia and house after house, and he was looking for the red door. And the fact that it had to be William Bell who saved her or be there when Peter got knocked out of it. I just thought it was a really cool episode. And it's one of the reasons why I love the show, because they'll do things like this.
And I'm sad that we lost William Bell.
Yeah, me too. Because we were, you know, I was like, that'll be cool if he's in the computer or like a computer that Walter can consult with. But that
like Hal.
Wasn't meant to be, I
you
guess.
You never know. He could be in the cow.
Yeah, maybe
did he put soul magnets in the cow?
Yeah, maybe it'll be something else. And it was funny because like some people were like, I think he's in that tablet.
Tablet.
Astrid was like, here, Zoom. You can watch some Zoom.
Oh.
You know, the old TV show Zoom. And I was like, they were like,
Zoom.
He's got a Zoom tablet. Maybe he's in there. It's like, no, that's a Galaxy Tab tablet. And it's the TV show Zoom. But I don't think he's in there. But how great was it when he called her Astro and she called him Wally and he just looks at her? That was great.
What, George?
And basically, when Olivia comes out of it, she's changed where she's a more positive.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that great moment, like, who is that guy? He was in your dream. He was living in an airship, like, locked up in it. She's like, oh, I think that guy's trying to kill me. Or who's going to kill me?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. And she just is eating. It's interesting. Because like, one of Peter's fears is that they would kick something loose in her brain.
I think they might have.
I think they might have.
Not a drip.
I don't know what that means. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Yes, let's do it!
I am removing the superfluous buns.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Superfluous buns, apparently. Let me pull it up here. Damn it, where is it? I'm sorry.
You know what's funny about Father and the Bride? That scene where that happens, the guy Steve Martin is talking to in that scene, the punk kid is like, hey, mister... is the actor who played the Wizard Master in Dream Warriors. Awesome! Shit. That is the Wizard Master.
That's insane.
Well, they're not ripping off this nitwit anymore because I'm not paying for one more thing I don't need.
You know, I guess it's... Well, it's not that bad of a thing to say, but I always confuse Father of the Bride and Parenthood for some reason because he kind of plays that neurotic...
Father
character in both films.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I always thought that was Parenthood for some reason. All right. Littleton, Colorado, an unidentified man barged onto the campus at Stony Creek Elementary School in Littleton Thursday, forcing students and staff members to evacuate. He wasn't a criminal fugitive or anyone out to harm students. Officials say he was just trying to use the restroom.
No!
The incident happened around 1 p.m. when, according to Jefferson County Sheriff spokesman Jackie Keeley, the man forced his way past school staff. Students were immediately evacuated and taken to nearby elementary school as police responded and began a frantic search for the man. He was found off campus. When confronted, he told him he just had to go to the bathroom.
Wow, yeah, I guess he likes his privacy, too, when he does.
Yeah, apparently. I just...
Get out of my
he
house!
He obviously had a serious issue there. Because, I mean, if it was peeing, he could just, you know, pee in the woods or something.
Yeah, I like to have an empty home when I go to the bathroom. I don't know about you guys. Everybody get out! I gotta go!
Evacuate the house!
Clear the home!
I leave the door open so the smell can waft out.
I pretty much say, save yourselves! Ooh, that's some bad D, isn't it?
Sorry about that in there.
Oh, man.
That's like really just evacuating the system, isn't it? Just like, get it all out.
Here's a quick... A quick news brief on a cancellation of a show that I kind of went, why? It was even aired. The Paul Reiser show has been canceled after 2 episodes.
Oh, Paul, poor guy. I guess
it's one of those times whenever they were advertising it, like, Paul Reiser?
I wondered what the hell was going on when they activated
like,
that show.
That guy tried to have a career, like a movie and TV career in the 90s. Yeah. Like, he had Mad About You, and then he did those movies. I'll never forget, I actually saw Bye Bye Love in the theater.
No good.
I've seen Bye Bye Love, yeah.
Yeah, but I saw it in the theater, and I was 16, so...
Oh, Bill.
Hideous. It was... You know, my friend Tim and I, every Friday after school, first we'd stop at our respective homes, hop in his Ford Festiva... and go see a movie.
It's got one of those kind of soundtracks where every song is cued by something exactly that's happening in the movie.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
You know what movie had that recently that I wanted to stab my ears?
Wow.
Was
that Rachel McAdams movie with Harrison Ford.
Yeah. I haven't seen that, but I want to.
Every time. I mean, it's charming up until the point where every time there's a situation, there's a song that describes it.
Oh, yeah, I hate that. Well, the fact that the movie's called Bye Bye Love, and then you're waiting for the song to play.
Bye Bye Love.
Isn't that a system of menopause?
All right, I pulled this story specifically for Laura, and it's kind of gross. A gym in Spain's Basque region has come up with an eye-catching way of battling the recession, offering naked workouts.
Whoa.
The team investigates the vicious chupacabra.
It sucks out the blood of its prey.
And they've uncovered evidence.
If there's one thing you shouldn't be doing naked, it's working out.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Because that's honestly kind of gross.
Yikes.
You know, sweaty and nasty and...
You sit down and listen to me, boy.
Do they put towels
well,
on the
are they attractive
equipment?
Naked people? Maybe that's different, you know?
What, like nudists?
Yeah.
Not a drip.
Ah!
I mean, if nudists are going to be like, oh, let's work out at the nudist gym... How many times have you seen nudists that actually look like they work out?
I think you need to ask yourself why you're doing this, Steven.
I worked with this girl who nudist, and she was not attractive. And I remember one time she brought pictures.
Oh,
and
no.
I did not want to look, but she was showing people. And some people were like, yeah, I'll take a look. And you could tell by the look in their eyes that those people will never be the same. And by the way, this was the same girl who saw a pencil portrait of Chuck Norris and went, Chuck Norris! And grabbed the picture and hugged it with all of her might. She was also a nudist.
Do I know this person?
And you think you do, but this is the best story about this same girl. One day she quit in anger and actually said, good day, sir, to the acting manager of the store. So she's quite a story there.
You get nothing.
You get nothing. But she actually said, good day, sir. And I remember it was our friend Chris Stevens who she said that to. And we laughed so hard. It was so funny.
You get nothing. You lose.
Good day, sir. And she was a nudist, so great.
Oh, good day, sir.
Not only this, if you met her husband, she was like, everybody, this is my husband. He's like, hi, nice to meet you.
Oh, no.
I swear to God, flaming homosexual.
I'm Steve Elf, owner.
I'm President Theo of Chipotle, and nice to meet you guys. Suffering fuck-a-tath, by the way. It's like, holy shit, this guy's gay. How does she not know this?
Exit stage left.
Heavens to Megatroid, she's a nudist. Good day, sir. It's like, oh my God. So
God,
that,
the head is pounding.
I could write
that.
A book about this girl.
My name is Steve Ells, and I started Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Well, good for you, Snagglepuss.
Good for you.
That guy's really proud of his... I mean, I guess he did... He was successful.
Well, he's a billionaire, and he started it with, what, $10,000, he said?
Yeah.
He vanished into skinny air.
All right,
leave
so...
Leave us exit stage left.
All right, Bill, what else we have in the news?
The nudist area of Basque, or the nudist people in the area of Basque, are very... happy about this. You know, there's 12 naturist beaches in the area. So this is a good choice to switch this over to, you know, naked workouts.
Oh, my gosh.
And they provide towels for comfort and to prevent slippage on equipment.
His butt lights up.
That's just really nasty to me. Imagine
one
with those
sharp stick.
I'm not even going to go there. Never mind. actually, it made me kind of grossed out there for a second. The Los Angeles Police Department believes one of two French nationalists detained on suspicion of vandalism near the MOCA's Little Tokyo Gallery was the famed street artist known as Space Invader.
Hey, Space Invader! That's the guy from Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yes, it is. A pair were detained Friday after authorities reportedly caught them with buckets of grout and pieces of tile near the historic Perez building in Little Tokyo. After the release, the trademark mosaics were discovered attached to several buildings. Oh, there you go.
Let them go. Free Space Invader.
Well, they did let him go, but they didn't realize who he was. And now they're like, well, damn, this guy's the...
We had
this guy's a nuisance.
Who's my treat?
In Burlington, Massachusetts, a young man innocently walking with an umbrella, mistaken for a rifle, triggered the evacuation of a shopping mall in Burlington, Massachusetts.
Oh, hey.
Are these people morons?
Yes, they
He's
are.
He's got a rifle! Get out of here! Dude, it's raining outside.
What's ridiculous about this story is they saved the guy's umbrella because he felt bad. He had gone to work. He saw the news, and he was like, shit, they're describing me. So he called the police, and they, you know, came, talked to him, and he showed him the umbrella, and the umbrella looks, you know, it's got a handle like a Hattori Hanzo sword.
Nice. I want that umbrella. Why didn't they think it was a sword?
Exactly. He said, I could understand if they thought I was going somewhere with a sword, but it does not look like a short-barreled rifle.
Yeah. He's got a samurai sword. Oh, my God.
So no charges were filed. He said he's going to get a different umbrella. But it's just...
All right, guys. I'm returning it to the Sharper Image store.
I think that's where he got it. It's just this knee-jerk reaction people have. Like, really? He's going to the mall and he's going to kill you.
And he's a terrorist, too!
In Australia, when they have to. For some reason... I'm not surprised that this story happened in Australia.
All right, enough of the samurai stuff.
Geelong or Geelong? I'll just say Geelong. Victoria, Australia, Magistrates Court was told a victim's... let me start from the beginning, sorry. I skipped the headline accidentally. A wild, drunken birthday party, including a sex toy demonstration and a brawl, ended with a victim waking the next day in a vacant lot with a broken jaw.
That's a bit weird.
And a sex toy inserted.
Oh, my dear.
No! Oh, sorry, Stephen. That would have been great.
No, I promise.
It's the broken jaw. Okay, so Geelong Victoria's Magistrate Court was told the victim's attacker, Luke Shelley, attended the Geelong Hospital accident and emergency after the fight, where he's found to have a blood alcohol reading of 0.28%. Whoa!
Hope you like it.
Shelley, 32, of Oak Court, pleaded guilty in Geelong magistrates yesterday to a charge of recklessly causing a serious injury. You think? The offending also breached the community-based order and suspended jail sentence he received in 2009 over drunk driving. As the party progressed, a woman gave a demonstration of sex toys and women's lingerie while people continued drinking. That's always a good thing.
At the completion of
the demonstration, the majority of the party went to the back patio where Shelley overheard another male ridiculing a younger man. Shelley pushed the victim away and pushed him to the face. The two men then began punching each other and wrestled to the ground, where he punched the victim in the jaw.
Ow.
The victim woke up the next day in a vacant lot with a sore jaw and a large cut to his forearm. He had no idea how he got the cut. So did they actually move this guy? Like, they just dumped him in a vacant parking lot after the party?
I guess so.
They beat the shit out of him, and then they put him in the car and then just dropped him in the vacant lot.
I think he's an observer.
Here's a shocking story to people who love the Olive Garden And
You know what I love about that place? That Tuscan Cooking Academy.
Do you know where I'm going with this? It should come to a shock to very few people that Italian restaurant chain Olive Garden does not employ chefs trained in the hills of Tuscany.
No!
I know! Make love to the meat. But that's exactly why the Olive Garden is facing criticism.
But I saw the commercial, Bill. It's got to be true.
I know! A new marketing ploy advertised that the restaurant sent cooks to Italy to learn how to prepare authentic dishes.
And I love they even say on the commercial, the artisans teach us. Yeah. And it's like these Italians with great knowledge live in the hills and they teach them.
Come out of caves just teach them how to cook.
It's an Olive Garden monastery.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, the monks in Italy, they teach us how to cook. This is how you make flatbread pizza.
This is how you make breadsticks that taste like they were frozen at some point.
Bring your dad a kite.
What?
And our bottomless salad.
Oh, you got to love the bottomless salad, guys. Mm-hmm.
Now, a former employee is cooking up trouble by claiming Olive Garden's Tuscan school in Chianti is merely a ploy to sell more breadsticks. Oh.
Huh?
Olive Garden claims on their website that more than 1,100 Olive Garden chefs and managers have traveled to Italy and learned the essential skills for creating traditional Italian cuisine and popular Italian.
You know, if that was true, I would go to get a job at Olive Garden just to get that trip and then quit afterwards. I'd get a nice Italian vacation, wouldn't I?
I bet you have to pay them back, though.
In the Italian, The
countryside?
Mountains of Italy.
Chianti, Italy.
Secret mountains of Italy.
Yes, where these are secret.
The artisans live.
The artisans. I love that word. Disaster.
I'm wondering if they're going to take that commercial off the air now because of this.
I hope so.
Or they're just going to go, that guy's crazy. I don't know what he's talking
about. We still send 100 people a year to this place.
They make real Italian breadsticks?
Mmm, delicious.
The ex-employee who attended the Olive Garden's Tuscan cooking school in 2007 explained that there wasn't much learning involved. The annual trip turns out to be more of an off-season Italian holiday than training experience.
Oh, it's a party school. Yeah.
Instead of true Tuscan cooking, Olive Garden will just remain a company that's best known for serving sangria to a toddler.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was a couple... couple weeks ago in Florida, they had no idea this mother knew her son was behaving weirdly, but they had put sangria in his sippy cup.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I guess she requested orange juice.
Wow.
And they put the sangria, which is there is orange and pineapple with white wine.
I could understand if maybe it was like orange juice and vodka on it. No, that's not understandable either. What the hell were they thinking?
Hey, man, watch this. I'm going to give this kid sangria. He's going to get drunk.
You know, sometimes Olive Garden can be good. It's good food. They don't have to pretend Italian shit, you know?
Yeah. It's not true Italian food. You know, it's fast food.
Yeah, just stop
Italian
with the
style.
We know what it is when we go there. Don't pretend like you had everything shipped from Italy, you know? Like, the chair you're sitting on was built in Italy. It's like, no, it wasn't. Just give me my breadsticks
like
and my friggin' salad, okay, buddy?
I actually really enjoy their seafood Portofino sometimes.
I'll fix this, Steven. No. I can fix it. I can make it cool again.
I like
good stuff. I do too salads. Sometimes. It's really I like to get their calamari and some seafood Portofino.
Last
and I'm
time
good.
I was there,
give me some wine.
I don't remember what it was. Some kind of steak with stuff on it with roasted potatoes or something. And they were like crispy potatoes and like peppers and stuff. It was really good. It's good stuff. Mm. And the reason I could taste that Tuscany type taste on it,
absolutely.
I was like, an artisan has had a hand in this.
It was shipped direct, like for you, FedEx.
Wow, I want to meet those artisans one day.
I wish I had friends like that.
I wish I had a friend that called themselves an artisan, because then I could tell them what a pretentious bitch they
and
are.
And even they even pronounce it artisan. Artisan. I'm an artisan.
Police in Kitchener, Ontario, say officers arrested a woman Sunday who was driving while only partially dressed and with a pet bird flying loose in her car.
Oh, dear.
Waterloo Regional Police said 58-year-old woman was driving down a street while continuously blowing her horn. Concerned for the driver's well-being, police tried to pull the car over, but police say the car didn't stop and hit a city bus. And then another vehicle before officers were able to arrest the driver. No one was injured.
Long, sharp stick.
Uh-huh.
So she had a surprisingly, police said the driver wasn't going at an excessive speed and alcohol wasn't a factor.
Wow.
So she's just crazy.
She had a crazy bird, I guess. How does that even happen?
All I can think of is the bird from last week.
Oh, yeah, Polly. I love Polly.
Polly wants a sweet ass.
I love Polly.
Sweet ass.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
I say let's do it.
Let's do it!
Let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs, let's do some DVDs! 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 HD Blu-ray Standard Definition! DVDs! Woo! The DVDs, everybody!
You sit down and listen to me, boy.
Hey! All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
Jerk sauce.
I'm sorry, I'll pass on the jerk sauce.
You won't be able to play the DVD.
It's hideous, hideous.
Jerk sauce.
And I apologize for my major mouth breathing because I am completely congested now. I have no idea why.
It's no problem. Steven, how do you All feel right. about this?
That's cruel.
I'm completely congested, too, and I'm trying not to mouth breathe real heavy.
I'm trying my best, and I know during the news I sounded like I was out of breath because I couldn't breathe in through my nose, and I'm like, it just came out of nowhere for some reason.
What's happening?
All right. Starting off with a film I'm really excited about getting on Blu-ray from the Criterion Collection. It's Brian De Palma's Blowout.
God
no,
damn, dude.
Not that kind of blowout.
Oh. Blowout.
This is a tire blowout.
Oh, hey, doesn't this, it's got the Travolta in it. Oh, my God.
You know what's great about John Travolta in this movie is he's great. I mean, this is probably one of the best films or his best performances in a film that I've ever seen.
Was this pre Scientology Travolta 2?
You know what? It was 81, so it's probably right around there.
I can't believe how good this feels.
But I can't recommend this movie enough, and I think this
that.
Is like the first movie. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But John Lithgow kind of creates that creepy serial killer in this film.
Yeah. And later he would be a creepy guy in the Raising Kane movie.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a successful movie. It's actually kind of funny.
It's a good performance. It's just a shit film.
Yeah. Something happened to Brian De Palma. I don't know what.
Yeah. This Blowout is probably one of my favorite films just because it's so well made and just the way it handles John Travolta's characters, his paranoia, and the idea that he's this sound guy that just becomes obsessed with this recording and trying to figure out who these people were and why it's getting it. Just the craziness of it and the direction that the quick cuts at certain moments.
Yeah, the editing in the early De Palma movies. I don't know. Have you ever seen this movie with Kirk Douglas called The Fury?
Yes.
That's got some awesome editing in it, too.
Yeah, but this, I, you know, later on, Brian De Palma, I despise. Like, Snake Eyes and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, and he, something has happened to De Palma, and I don't know what.
Maybe he got bored. I don't know.
I know what his problem is.
His butt lights up.
That's it.
That could be it.
If you have that problem, you know, you're self-conscious. Unless you're in a darkened room, it could really help
you're
out.
You're distracting your actors.
Yeah. You're like, dude, turn that shit off.
Yeah, but I think De Palma's heyday was really the mid-70s to the early 80s.
Dressed to Kill.
That's when he did, kill. Like, Blowout, Scarface, Dressed to Kill, The Fury.
Even a movie that's really kind of trashy and sleazy, like Body Double, is still very watchable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, Blowout on Criterion. I can't wait to see the extras. I can't wait to see it in 1080p. I've already got it pre-ordered. It's just such a great film.
I'd like to check that out. That's cool.
Yeah, it's. I can't recommend it enough. There's a part where Travolta knows something is going on, and he goes to his lab to work, and his recordings are erased. And he, like, the madness he displays in that scene is so fantastic. It's just really, it's such a great film. And it's it was restored and supervised by Brian De Palma. So De Palma had to sit there and go, wow, I really made some good movies.
Another
before.
De Palma, a rare De Palma movie that I saw a million times as a kid. And if you ever see this movie, you'll go, why were you watching this as a 7-year-old? But it's Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trippy movie. You've probably seen it, Steven.
Yes. I think that was like late 70s,
but
right?
But you can see why people used to get excited about De Palma movies.
Because he was doing things that no one else did.
Gotta make love to the meat.
Like, and even in Blowout, he was lampooning the film industry. Like, it was that angry young filmmaker kind of attitude. Because you had John Travolta, who was the sound editor, and then you had this director who was always riding Travolta's ass about getting the perfect scream.
Right.
You know, and
I'm remembering the ending to the movie now.
Yeah. The perfect scream.
Uh-oh.
But just, really, I love that movie. I can't say I love it enough, so I'll just move on because I'm an asshole.
No, what?
He'll go that, for
that's
hours.
Actually it, Bill. I have the perfect scream.
Tomer!
If you continue like that, Jesus Christ actually going to appear.
Huh? No. What is that?
I'm not ready.
You're kidding me.
On Blu-ray, we get Stallone. Daylight.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I love Stallone, too, honey. Daylight is one of those movies I don't think it's good.
No, it's not. I just remember seeing in the theater and seeing the end, and the whole thing was, if we just get ourselves into this mud, it'll pull us up when there's the explosion.
Yeah, where does he come up with that idea?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, if that was the... Why didn't they just shove everyone in the mud?
And that... Remember that has Viggo Mortensen as, like, the cocky survival sporting goods guy or whatever?
Yeah.
I, you know, the only thing I thought was cool about the movie is that they had those... what is it, like, hidden away ancient, like, break rooms for workers or something? I'm trying
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that is badass, man.
Man, I'm going to go down to the fan system and find shit.
Yeah, like old lunchboxes and stuff.
Maybe we can find like a metal lunchbox for Transformers and sell it for thousands.
You're a dick.
Oh, hey.
Hey, right. Wolverine.
You know what? That's just the that part of X-Men. I miss that in the X-Men movie.
Yeah. There's like a kind of playful thing there.
Yeah.
And I want a man's man directing an X-Men movie again, like that Bryan Singer, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, he is so butch.
Yeah, a tough guy. You know what I'm saying?
Get some sissy like Brett Ratner.
And it's a guy like Bryan Singer would take you, Jackman, and he would say to him,
"Shut up, boy, and listen to me."
Yeah.
Yep.
You play Wolverine like I say and shut the hell up.
You know, I'm really looking forward to the Matthew Vaughn X-Men film, but I posted on Twitter this week, I really just want a sequel to Layer Cake. I loved Layer Cake so much, and I desperately want a sequel to it. I want to see where it's going to go. And I guess maybe it's just my selfishness.
I think a lot of people do.
All right, everybody, next DVD is something I'm definitely buying. An Evening with Dave Grusin.
Oh, Dave Grusin, the guy who did the music to what, Steven? Goonies! Dun 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 dun. I love that.
I actually own that on CD.
My dad had Dave Grusin albums that were just, they had nothing to do with a movie. It was just like an instrumental album. And I was like, what the hell do you have this for? But good stuff, right? Come on, Dave
Grusin. I would spend an evening with Dave Grusin. Not in that way.
But... Oh, Bill.
No. No.
A romantic kind of way?
No. I would listen to him play music. He could serenade me. This is a little ditty I wrote for my bodyguard.
His butt lights up.
Excuse me? All right, let's move on, Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's see here. Yeah, I'll go with it. The next Blu-ray is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the Criterion Collection.
All right, with good old Nick Cage. You won the Academy Award for that.
No.
Oh, Johnny Depp movie.
Yes,
damn.
There you go.
Totally screwed that up.
What the hell was that one called with Nick Cage?
Fear
of Leaving Las Vegas.
It's like, I don't want to leave. I'm not going to. You can't make me.
It was called We Finally Get to See the Adventures in Babysitter's Boobs.
And I have never seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, guys. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah.
It's very trippy. It's Terry Gilliam, so you know it's got some really crazy shit in it.
Even though I hadn't seen it, I knew of it. And when there's like a Easter egg for it in Rango, I got the joke. So it was pretty funny.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those movies.
The China White speedballing with Pure Flake.
It's so quoted that you almost don't have to see it. I mean, like, this is Bat Country and stuff like that. I mean, you know where that comes from.
I've never even heard that before.
Oh, really? It's whenever they're first on the road and he starts dropping the drugs and hallucinating. He's like, this is Bat Country. And you can see, like, the bats in his sunglasses.
Enough with the 21 Jump Street.
All right, next Blu-ray is, I believe this... No, this has not been on Blu-ray here in America. It's an anime film, sorry. But it's called The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Wow.
It's really good. It is a really good film.
So she took a flying leap through time.
Yeah, she discovers the ability to leap backward in time.
It's basically put into a state of suspended animation.
So basically, you know, you think of yourself as a young Japanese schoolgirl who now has the ability to leap backwards through time. So
I do that often,
Bill.
What
are you going to do with that?
I'm like, what if I was a Japanese girl?
Yeah.
And
you could leap through time.
Gotta make love to the meat.
No, you're not going to make love to me. You're going to go back and try to fix things, do better on tests.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Then you figure out
still
that, you know, your
abilities. Almanac.
Still a sport.
Yeah. But every time you jump back, you're changing things. I'll just leave it at that. It's a good movie.
Have you ever tripped?
It's a butterfly effect.
Sounds cool.
Steven! He just gave it up. She ends up killing herself in the womb.
Oh, no.
I think you need to ask yourself why you're doing this, Steven.
Horrible movie.
And that's the director's cut. I've seen the theatrical cut.
Okay, what happens in the theatrical cut? Because I've never seen the director's cut.
He makes it so they don't meet. And then at the very end, they're walking, and he's got a suit on. He obviously works at a bank or something, and she's a professional of some kind. And as they walk by each other, they kind of look at each other knowingly, and that's the end of the
movie.
Like,
hey, I know you.
It's like, hey, what a happy ending, guys. And that's great.
I'd rather kill him.
Good morning, Mary Sunshine. And how are we today?
Yeah, I'd rather any movie that ends with Ashton Kutcher dying, I am all for, and I stand up and go, bravo! Bravo!
Fetus.
Encore! Encore!
Oh my God!
Rewind that reel!
You're kidding me!
Next Blu-ray I'm mentioning, just because it has a large white man looking like he's squatting to take a poo, Muay Thai Giant.
Oh, hey!
From the company behind Ong Bak, The Protector and Born to Fight. 7 feet of fist-pounding fury.
Okay.
Hey, why not? He's a Muay Thai giant.
That's about it. That's it.
Holy shit, South Park, the complete 14th season?
I'm going to put my foot in your ass.
That show's been on TV forever.
It really has.
And next, another... Oh, jeez. What are you doing, Billy Zane? Sniper Reloaded.
Wow. How many Sniper sequels have they did? And I've only seen Sniper.
Seen the original.
Is it the same amount of sequels there have been to The Substitute?
And I think it's also... They share actors.
Sometimes you just want to stab
Tom
yourself.
Tom Berenger was in the original Sniper.
Right. And then he went to the Substitute, right?
Yeah.
And now there's going to be a Substitute sequel with Billy Zane in it.
Oh, and I'm sure there will be one with Treat Williams, because he was in one of the Substitutes.
Oh, yeah, he was. It's when Tom Berenger's like, look, I'm done. I paid off my mortgage. I don't need to do any more of these movies.
Treat Williams kind of looks like me, so...
Yeah.
Treat Williams, and he gets to get it on with that redheaded supermodel that was connected to Stallone. What's her name? Angie Everhart.
Oh, Angie Everhart. Yeah, I see her now in those diet commercials or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you ought to see her.
I'm going to give you a vision to see.
Yikes.
She looks great now.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
You know, what was it, 2 or 3 shakes a day and a sensible dinner?
Yeah, and she looks great in a kind of trashy, kind of slutty way, Steven, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, and last on Blu-ray, we have the Universe Mega Collection.
Okay.
I kind of enjoy this show on the History Channel because I'm a space geek, and this has all Yeah, I am a huge space geek.
It sounds like it could be a show, Space Geek.
It could. I'll star in it. If you don't mind.
Oh, that's fine. As long as I can be the neighbor who drops by, like, and everybody claps when I walk in.
Absolutely.
That'd be cool. You know what a better show is, though, Bill?
What?
It is the ultimate battle between good and evil, freedom and oppression.
Do you know what that is, Bill?
Space Thunder Kids.
Good old Space Thunder Kids.
Oh, that's so appropriate. So this has all 63 original episodes of the 5 seasons of The Universe, plus the feature-length documentary Beyond the Big Bang.
That makes sense, because the universe is vast. It's going to take a lot of episodes.
It's vast, and it's ever-expanding.
That's right. How's that even possible?
That's just, you know, wrap your mind around that shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Bike it in and then think about it.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to grind some up after the show, guys.
Watch. You could take Vicodin and watch Fringe.
His butt lights up.
Oh, it's going to, honey.
That's it.
I'll just do an old quote. What if D-O-G really spelled cat?
Oh, Trippio.
But D-O-G also spells G-O-D.
I think you need to ask yourself why you're doing this, Steven.
Why are
your
you
dog
doing this
whole new way? Are you God?
Get out of my house.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, and then sadly, that's DVDs for this week. There just really wasn't anything out.
Oh.
Other than Blowout.
Can't be happening.
That's it. That's the DVDs. All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Hope you like it.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week to try the veal. And see
jerk sauce.
Mmm, delicious. All right, everyone, that was episode 236 of Nowhere and Mulberry. Thank you for listening this week. I want to first of all thank Adam and Ross for doing the second episode of Twin I Am, otherwise known as This Week in Nowhere in Mulberry.
I wish I had friends like that.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome guys, man. Also, go to nowhereandmulberry.com and you can find a link to Mulberry Old School, a link to our forum, and you can find the phone number to leave us a voicemail, which is 1206-202-3491, or you can send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to follow Steven on Twitter. He did do at least one haiku.
I did one haiku.
Yeah, I saw that.
You just got to keep it going, Steven.
I was like, do I keep writing them about the show?
Snozberries taste like snozberries.
Or just any old haiku will do.
Yeah, any old haiku will do.
I was like, kept going, do I keep
head?
Huh?
You can.
Do whatever pops into your head, man.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about it. I was like, do I keep trying to push, you know, advertise the show?
You could do anything. Like,
do what about needing a new roof?
Noodles.
Ooh, noodles. You
write about noodles and starving kids in Egypt or the cable
cup
guy.
Of noodles.
Yeah, like the
filling noodle episode coming.
Do an entire haiku about the dehydrated vegetables in cup of noodles.
I'll fix this, Steven. No, I can fix it. I can make it cool again.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. And I've got to say this. I do not think we'll be doing a show next Friday because next Friday is my daughter's first grade field trip to the zoo.
And awesome.
And I could say now that, hey, we're going to still do a show because Thursday I'll prepare everything and Friday I'll be good to go. I'm going to be exhausted. If this is anything like the field trip from kindergarten.
When is your tooth getting fixed?
Wednesday.
That's what I was kind of wondering too. Is like,
yeah, will I fill up to it?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I'll fill up to going to the zoo.
That's what I'm saying. You've got all this
stuff.
You'll
be fine, but you're not going to be able to eat anything.
Yeah.
You'll have gauze stuck in your mouth.
I'll be able to, like that night, I'm going to be pretty miserable. The next day, probably be able to chew on the left side of my mouth. And I'll be tonguing over there. I'll have that blood clot in there. God, I don't want to go through this. Jesus. It's going to suck.
That's the worst. Because the pain, you kind of bite down on it because I don't know if it's like a masochistic type of thing, like, ooh, that pain. I don't know. I always
like, oh, I would, God, it hurts good.
Yeah. But you can't help yourself.
Right. And
when I was constantly changing the gauze.
The one thing I remember about it, though,
like bloody taste.
The one thing I remember about it is that one day it's just healed. And you're like, whoa, when did this happen? It's gone.
Yep, that's the way the mouth works. It's a wonderful thing.
And it's awesome. So, you know, I'll save some clips of shows for the following week of Marcel and Quantum Kitchen and all that kind of stuff.
I'm not just being this crazy chef with, like, these asinine demands.
No, not at all. Nothing like that, Marcel. I don't think Marcel watches his show.
No, he doesn't.
He needs to really watch his show. But we'll have some more Fringe. We won't have Kitchen Nightmares because it was a rerun. What the hell is Fox doing? Come on.
Yeah, it's the Boston one again with the druggy brother.
Yeah.
There's a new Fringe this week, right?
Yeah. And I cannot wait for Hell's Kitchen to come back when they show that 2-hour block of Hell's Kitchen. Awesome. You know what?
I can't wait, because the first couple episodes are always the best because it's filled with the idiots.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you got to find the nut job. There's at least one.
And the thing I can't get over, Bill, is how fantastic Gordon Ramsay's the F word is.
It really is a fantastic show.
And F stands
for food.
Even the
goofy stuff with, like, the food critic searching the freegan and the Janet Street Porter with her crazy stuff.
And, you know, there was one where – the last episode I watched, he went to where they milk horses for horse milk.
Yes.
And I thought that was hilarious.
Yes, horse
milk.
It's
a fun show. It's a lot of fun. And Gordon is so different on it than he is on Hell's Kitchen.
He's normal.
Yeah, he's normal. All right, guys.
I haven't heard him call anyone a donkey on it.
And by the time we return to the show, hopefully – no, I don't know. We won't have seen Thor yet, will we? Because next week is the 20-something, and then May is after that, so...
Yeah, it's the first week of May that it comes out, right?
Right. I am going to try to see Troll Hunter, the 13 Samurai Bill.
13 Assassins.
13 Assassins, yes, and...
But they are Samurai.
And... Huh? And... Super.
Yes.
And no Hobo with a Shotgun.
No, don't.
No Hobo with a Shotgun.
Is the Troll Hunter, is that a Netflix?
No, it'll be a on demand.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just looking it up now because should be on.
Or Bill could find it for us.
Yeah, it's that's true. That's very true.
You know,
it is on demand right now.
Nice.
Why do you think zombies eat brains? Because brains are good. We want to break up the shells to get out the head goo.
It goes on demand May 6th.
Oh, that's too long. I need it now.
All right. Well, I'll take care of that.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Get out of my house. Get out now. I don't ever want to see you again.
My God. Dude, what's Broderick's problem?
Just insulted him about the accident in Ireland.
Investigates the vicious chupacabra.
It sucks out the blood of its prey.
And they've uncovered evidence.
I wish I had friends like that.
Shut up, boy, and listen to me.
No!
You sit down and listen to me, boy.
Is there a doctor in the house? Me!
What am I, an idiot?
You're a dick.
This can't be happening.
Wow, 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 wow.
This is a disaster.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.